Hey, welcome to the film podcast. Yeah, everybody's excited today. We should have one of those buttons where it like just applauds. It's like, yeah.
Do you do that at the beginning of every? Is that your signature? The yeah.
I don't know if it's my signature, but I don't know anything else. I don't know anything else. I don't know how I would start it.
This is the film podcast. Yeah.
It's kind of like I'm questioning things, life and stuff. Yes, it's me, Ricardo, as always, and
Jenny.
And today, Adam Scott and Kevin are out. Kevin, I don't know where he's at. I think he's working. So
probably doing, you know, crack and stuff.
Yes,
heard about that Kevin kid.
He loves
better be
crack.
Dead.
Yes. And Adam had too much tragedy this weekend. I feel bad. My thoughts are with him. Not too bad, but you know, like
it's pretty bad.
It's pretty bad.
Yeah.
I don't know why I have to qualify it.
Yeah.
It's okay to be sincere.
Yeah. I should be sincere, yeah. No, I you know, poor guy. So he was like, maybe I'll go, and I'm like, no, you shouldn't come.
He opted to go get drunk and margaritas.
Yes.
I don't blame him.
And respect the dead.
Yeah. Very cool. And in their place, two for one, Brandon. Because you're taking place of two people.
Got two shoes to fill.
Yep.
Four shoes to fill.
Four shoes to fill, yeah. Brandon Bennett. I know a couple weeks ago we had on Brandon Strelitz, but this is our usual contributor, Brandon Bennett. Yes. What else? What's been going on with you?
Me?
Yeah.
I got engaged.
Yeah.
Woohoo.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you.
Do you feel different inside? You're like, you know what? Have you called her your fiance yet?
You know, it's weird when I have to do that. It is weird for some reason. It's weird.
It's been a week, right? No.
Because I feel like every time you're doing that, you're telling somebody, oh, hey, I got engaged.
Yes.
And I don't want to just walk around telling people, oh, hey, I got engaged.
Yeah.
And I feel because, yeah, so that makes it very weird. I think it's just like there's a moment in time and then it's just a little bit different.
Yeah.
But the same.
Yeah. But okay. So you have said my fiance already. You have said
yes. I have said my fiance, but man, that sounds weird.
Yeah, it really does.
You're like, yeah, hey, this is my fiance.
It's like literally a different language. Like
yeah.
You're like not speaking English all of a sudden.
Right,
you're
French.
Like, yeah. You're like, I'm gonna change it up a bit. Just speak a little French.
I know. So when that's the thing. Like, when do you say something just French in conversation?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's cool. Congratulations on
that. Thank you very much. I'm very happy. Sorry. I think what I didn't mention through all that is I'm very happy about it.
Yeah.
You're like, it's all right.
Awkward to talk about. And yeah.
So, what else? Has anybody seen any movies in theaters? What's going on in the film world? Man. Jenny, you haven't seen anything new?
I don't know that I have.
I haven't been to the theaters in a long time. I have been catching up at home a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Finally saw Looper.
Oh,
okay.
What did you think of that?
It was amazing.
Really?
It was great. We can talk about it.
Yeah, we could definitely talk about it.
What's your beef?
My beef. I do like beef. I feel like the more I see it, the more I see like just slight little flaws. But I mean, I'm not going to watch it anymore for that reason. It was really fun. I'll say that. It was really fun. Bruce Willis is awesome.
Bruce Willis is great. No one has given him that amount of sincere gravitas in a long time.
Yeah, no. And I feel like you could definitely, if you listen to this podcast, you probably listen to Kevin Smith talk or you've heard his rantings. And
I'm sorry for all those people.
You've probably heard him go off on Bruce Willis. And I feel like you can, after hearing him, you know.
You mean how Bruce Willis was mad that Kevin Smith was a terrible director and didn't know what he was doing?
Didn't know.
All those stories that he tells?
What lenses he was using?
Yeah.
So you could definitely tell which directors, like, you could feel it. Like, you're like, I'm like, this guy definitely had control over Bruce Willis, you know?
Yeah. Well, I think also Bruce Willis liked the idea.
Yeah.
Like, he said many times, he's like, it's just a crazy idea and I loved every minute of it.
Yeah, yeah.
It was great. I was surprised how much I liked it. I'm a big fan of Ryan Johnston, but I was really surprised at how entertained I was.
Yeah, it was really fun. I just don't know why they had to do that, to do that, spoiler alert, that, like, alternate reality, you know, where he dies.
Oh, I thought that was great. The first time you see it play out?
Yeah.
Because it's all about, I mean, because it's all about, you know, what you can change, what you can't, the, you know, predestination.
Yeah. I don't know.
I thought it played into the theme.
It
also threw me for a loop when I was watching it. And because I thought it wasn't clear right off the bat that was kind of an alternate version, or at least, but it's not really an alternate version. It's just alternate to the story of the movie.
Yeah.
So that I really like that. Because then when it cut back, it had all the more power when you then see it from his point of view.
Yeah. I did like a few things, like where Bruce Willis was kind of like, his memories were kind of jumbled because he was kind of affecting his memories.
Yeah, I loved all that stuff. Yeah. And that's like I feel like people who bag on like the, you know, time travel plot holes.
Yeah.
First of all, let's get the whole time travel itself is impossible.
Yeah, yeah.
So nitpicking the science of time travel is a little flawed to begin with. But anyone who has a problem with that, the whole like the limbs thing, the guy losing his limb and Bruce Willis's memories, it was all like, you know, the newspapers and Back to the Future. You know, it doesn't make any sense that would change, but it does make sense. Yeah. It feels like it makes sense.
Yeah.
And that's all that matters when you're watching it.
Yeah. But it was really entertaining, and I've only seen it twice. I saw it in theaters, and then my girlfriend hadn't seen it, so we watched it together.
Yeah, I've only seen it once. I think I'm probably going to buy it, though.
Yeah. I'm curious to hear the commentary. And
me too.
Yeah. I know he did release commentary that you could... when the film just came out in theaters, he released like a theater commentary.
He did that for Brothers Bloom too.
Which is really funny because he tells you like to cough at certain points just so you could see who else is listening to the commentary as well. It was fun.
Yeah.
And what did I see in theaters? I saw The Last Stand.
Oh yeah.
Yes. I had a lot of fun.
I'm excited. I know.
I had a lot of fun. It was kind of like the type of fun I had when I saw Dread. Where I was like, I don't know what I'm expecting.
That did I caught up with that as well.
Let's talk about Dread first.
Oh, no, it was great. Dread?
Fun, right?
It was awesome. Yeah.
I really liked it too. Yeah. I just saw it last week.
Carl Urban was great.
Yeah, I love him.
Yeah.
I love him so much. Lena Headley. Headley, yeah. She was fantastic too. I like her a lot.
Yeah, and I liked the effect. I don't even know. I feel bad. I don't know who directed it.
It was... You know what's so funny is that it says the director, but during production, I know because I kept following it because I'm like, oh, Alex Garland was writing it and producing it.
Yeah, yeah.
And then at one point, like, the director got fired, and then, like, Alex Garland was directing at one point, and then they brought another director in.
Okay.
And it had a horrible, like, production. Like, things were happening badly all throughout the thing. It just, shit was falling apart. And I'm like, this movie's going to suck. And that's why when I went to see it, it blew me away because I'm like, wow, it's amazing. Like, I wonder if it's because Alex Garland was the producer and he stayed on through all the problems and he kind of like troubleshooted all of them. I think that's the case. But that's kind of what I'm hearing about RoboCop right now, that, you know, the studio's like kind of like fighting with the director. But then I heard an interview with Michael Keaton. He's like, this is one of the smartest directors I've literally ever like had the
pleasure. Yeah, that was weird to hear.
Yeah, yeah. So,
well, I'm sure the guy's great. I didn't see his first one that got him the job.
I really enjoyed that movie. Elite Squad, The Enemy Within, was amazing.
Yeah.
I love that movie. So I was actually looking forward to seeing this director do an American movie. So, I mean, hopefully his vision's kind of get through that studio system. So
yeah, well, and perfect segue as guys coming to do their first American movie.
Yes,
Last Stand.
Yes, this is the director of The Good, the Bad, and the Weird, The Tale of Two Sisters. What else did he do? I'm drawing a blank here. The Quiet Family. I saw The Devil. That's what he did.
Oh, okay.
And this guy, I fucking loved I Saw the Devil. I know some people thought it was too long or whatever, but I thought it was awesome. It was an amazing thriller. And I just dug his action, because some action by American directors, I feel like I get lost in the speed of it, like all the quick cuts. Mm-hmm. Like that's the one thing that I hated. Well, not the one thing. That's the biggest thing I hated from Taken 2, is that there was way too many cuts, and I'm like, who the fuck is he fighting, and is he winning, or is he dead?
Because well, you couldn't tell.
Yeah. But this is the guy who directed The Devil Inside. And this movie's so fun. It's like, so if you were raised on 80s like action movies, this is gonna hit like the spot in your heart that is reserved for those movies. It's so fun. It's like has that like Americana feel to it, you know, small town. It was modern, but it did have that like nostalgia feel to it for me. And I thought everyone was fun. Like Johnny Knoxville was like, when I saw him in the previews, I was like, oh, what's this guy gonna do? But he was fun.
He looked like he was playing his character in that what was the Special Olympics movie?
Yes.
Oh yeah. What was that one called?
With Brian Cox. I forgot the name of it. But no, he was fun. Luis Guzman is cool. Everybody was amazing.
Does it continue the strong Schwarzenegger tradition of no one explaining why he has a thick Austrian accent as a grizzled sheriff in an Arizona border town?
Yeah. Well, his background is that he was a cop in L.A., but I'm like, that still doesn't explain anything.
A little more international. Yeah. I'll get back to him. Yeah.
But yeah, so it was fun. I enjoyed it. I'd probably see it again in theaters. It was that fun. Yeah. I think that's the only thing I saw in theaters. Yeah. And then I have a couple of DVDs I have to watch. Adam Scott lent me Martyrs and Inside. So two horror films I got to watch.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I've been rewatching Breaking Bad.
Where are you on that?
My roommate was rewatching it, so I've been like gradually going in and out of the room if I really like an episode or something. But he's already on season 4.
Oh, nice.
Wow.
Yeah. I haven't seen I've only seen like the first two of season 5, I think. I haven't seen it.
I haven't seen any episodes of any season, so.
Now's the time to do it. It's going to end in a few months.
So. I have all four. Oh, you probably have them on Netflix.
I probably, yeah. Yeah. Probably do you have them? You own them?
I own first four.
Oh, wow. Yeah, they were, I guess the thing, I got to catch up on that and Justified. I got to catch up on.
I got to catch up on Justified, too. Although I will say, since we're on the subject of television, Fringe did end last week.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if anyone else in the podcast was as heartbroken as I was.
I saw the first season and I loved it. And it was one of those things where I'm like, you know what? It was really hard with Lost for me to get through each week. So I decided to wait. And I haven't heard any spoilers or anything.
Because it's not a super popular show. Yeah.
And my girlfriend is a big fan of the show. I know I've seen you guys talk on Facebook. And I know that she didn't spoil it for me and she loved it. So I'm like, I'm going to wait for the DVD and then catch up on all of them. So.
Yeah, I need to watch it. I haven't watched any of it. But.
I can only because you mentioned Lost, I'll say that I can promise you it is vastly more fulfilling than the end of Lost.
Okay.
That's good.
Okay.
Or like the last two seasons of Lost.
Okay. Okay. That gives me hope.
It follows character stories. They are always their characters, even though they're sometimes different people, which sounds weird, but that's what's awesome about the show. Cried like 4 times during the finale. And I mean like serious crying. Really? Like I just broke up with somebody crying.
Really?
Yeah. It was
like,
hard.
Bring me a box of tissues crying.
Yeah. I had to get up and go get tissues.
Aww.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
We didn't have any toilet paper, but it was the same thing.
It felt the same.
Yes.
But yeah, well now I got to sit down. That's another show I got to put on the list. Damn you.
John Noble will tear you apart.
I like that guy. He's a really good actor.
Oh, I'm so good on that show. And Joshua Jackson, I get it. I never watched Dawson's Creek, but I totally get it now.
You're like Pacey? I get you, Pacey.
Yes, I totally get it.
But you know what? It's funny. I want to talk about this before we go on to the topic. I was talking to a friend, acquaintance, you know, and we were talking about films. And I have, all my friends, including Jenny, too, because now, like, she's kind of like, since she's been in the podcast, she's like watching films of every kind, of every year, black and white. She's just kind of like feeding herself films of every kind of generation. And I was talking to this friend, And I was talking about movies, and I feel like everyone who kind of follows us on Twitter
already,
and
I think this guy's a giant asshole. All this preamble.
Yeah.
You're with me. Okay. I have you on board. But I feel like everybody who like I interact with on Twitter, like, you know, Sean Wicks, Bob Freelander, Brian Sauer, everybody who kind of like who I tweet with or, you know, have conversations with on Twitter, like, I get them and they get me, like, and I feel like I learn from them because, you know, of all their movie knowledge, especially like Brian Sauer and like you and like Adam Scott. Like,
there's very few people who are more nutty about movies to an almost pathological level than at Bob Friedlander.
Yeah,
on Twitter.
Yeah,
oh,
and
he
and
might have a problem.
Yeah,
I love his problem, but he definitely might have a problem.
And the thing is, like, I feel like, oh, well, you know, like, I'll bring up an 80s movie, and he's like, oh, I haven't seen that, I'll have to see that. And it's just kind of like you feed on each other, you know? But I was talking to this guy.
This guy must be a huge
prick. Why are you giving such a free,
no,
like a precursor?
But then, like, I was trying to have a conversation with him, and he proclaimed himself, like, a movie geek, you know? And I realized...
And this all came from Joshua Jackson. Remember. Everyone remember, this came from Joshua Jackson.
No. I just had this thing I want to talk about. And I couldn't segue to it, so I just had to fucking start talking about it. So this friend, I'm trying to talk to him about movies, and he's like, I haven't seen that movie. And I'm like, well, it was kind of like this movie. He's like, I haven't fucking seen that movie. I was trying to describe a modern movie. I don't remember what it was, or else this would be a good example. But I was trying to reference like old movies that kind of resembled it, you know. And I'm like, oh, it's like this 1960s movie. But I haven't seen it. No. And I'm like, I started to realize like you're not a fucking movie geek or a film geek at all. Well, you know, like you're a pop culture film geek. You know, Star Wars, Star Trek to now. But everything popular culture, everything that's out of that, you don't know shit. And it kind of scared me because I'm like, wow, like this guy's kind of masquerading around town.
He's taking the title of film geek.
I know. Yeah. And I felt like angry.
Well, you live in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
No one's going to, when you're talking to them about the industry of the town, no one's going to say they don't know something.
Yeah. But
if this guy is... I don't know. What does he do? It's so mysterious. Who the hell is it?
I can't say.
Does he work for a studio?
He no, not anymore.
Production company?
Not anymore.
Oh, not anymore.
No,
okay.
No.
Well, what do you care? Name him.
Yeah, no. I don't even want to say who it is. Yeah, no, he might listen to this podcast.
I know. No one gives a shit who it is.
Yeah. No one gives a shit who it is. But it's kind of like, it kind of scared me a little bit. Like, fuck, like, I want to be in the movie industry, and like these are the people I may be having to deal with.
I don't know. There's a lot. There are a ton of movies I haven't seen.
Yeah.
Have you done a Shame List episode? Yes, you have. That might have been the first one I was on. I'm sorry. Let me take that back.
Was it?
I think you have. Yeah. I think that might have been the very first time I was on this thing was the Shame episode.
Oh, I don't know. Maybe.
I still haven't seen Gone with the Wind.
Oh.
I just saw that in December. That. Yep.
She'll tell you
time.
About it. She had intermission. You got popcorn.
There was an intermission. We had dinner.
It's great. Intermission's wonderful.
It was crazy.
So that's cool.
Yeah, I'm still catching up. So
I haven't seen Lawrence of Arabia.
Oh,
I haven't seen that one either.
See, that's one thing where when people say I haven't seen Lawrence of Arabia, I'm like, lucky you, because you could see it for the first fucking time. You know, like literally, like I'm jealous of that.
Yeah, that's what a lot of people have been saying to me recently. Yeah. I'm like, oh, I just watched this for the first time. Oh my god, that's so cool that you're just watching that.
A lot of movies like that, like I feel like it's like, oh, to be you to see that for the first time with virgin eyes. It's
like, I have been waiting.
It's like you're losing your virginity, and you know, I'm jealous of that.
I have been
waiting
for when I can watch it in 70mm at someplace. That's
at the Egyptian.
Yeah, that would be cool.
That's the benefit of living.
I think the Egyptian will eventually. They do it every year, so just keep an eye out for that.
I think they're all DCP now, though.
Wait for it.
Right.
I think they just showed a 70 millimeter print a couple, like a year or two ago when they had the Blu-ray release.
It's there like 8 times a year at one of them.
Yeah.
That in 2001.
Yeah. Oh, really? You haven't seen 2001?
That's another one.
I've seen 2001.
He's seen it. He's just
I've seen it twice on the big screen, a lot of times at home.
Yeah. It's a good one.
That's another one I need to see. I need to do a Stanley Kubrick, like...
Like marathon.
Marathon.
Course.
Yeah. Course is what is the right word.
Yeah.
Barry Lyndon? Yeah. No Barry Lyndon?
Oh, Barry Lyndon. Yeah, of course. Probably got to do it in theaters, that one.
Yeah.
All right. So enough of
enough of things we haven't seen.
Yeah.
Enough of the Shameless.
It's boring
part
to hear
two.
About. Yeah.
All right. We'll get into it. Today we're talking about movies upcoming movies of 2013. Stuff we're looking forward to. I'm doing a top 10 this week since we're missing two people. And what did
probably
you guys
won't have too much to say about each one, just yeah we're excited.
Yeah,
this
yeah
person's and, in it.
Well, sometimes it's like, well, because this person's in it or the director, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, I'm excited about this list. I feel like I did five, ten through six was the kind of like very popular movies, and then my top five that I'm really looking forward to kind of indies. So all right, Brandon.
Man. That hurt.
Why?
My top five, it's kind of indie.
Well, those are the ones that I'm really looking forward to because it's whether
you
it's
probably right. haven't even number, heard of them.
I know it's number one.
Yeah, you know it's number one. Okay, let's get into
it. Everyone be quiet for Ricardo's number one.
Let's start off with your number 10, Brent.
Me, number 10?
Yeah.
It was one thing, but I'm going to change it to something else. G.I. Joe Retaliation.
You know,
it was supposed to be last year.
Yeah.
I was pissed when they moved it. And now we get it this year. I really liked G.I. Joe.
The first one?
Yeah. I thought it was in the same way that, not as good, but in the same way I liked The Mummy. Because mm-hmm. it was Stephen Sommers, right?
Yeah.
Who did G.I.
Yeah.
Joe? Yeah. It was in the same kind of way I enjoyed The Mummy that I enjoyed G.I. Joe. It started and just didn't stop until the end of the movie. That I really liked. Like, the train kept hurtling forward.
I feel like that's what this one's going to be. But I didn't feel the same love
Plus,
for the original.
The Rock.
Yeah, yeah. I'm really looking forward to the Cobra Commander. That's what I'm like, do the fucking voice, man.
Yeah.
That's
the Cobra Commander takes over the White House. You see, like, the
yeah,
banner come down.
Yeah,
on the
that
wild.
Was
like,
a cool
That
shot.
Is the crazy shit that you want to see in a G.I. Joe movie.
Yeah. And I feel like... That's what I wanted from the first one. Like, this movie's what I wanted from the first one, and I feel like
yeah.
I'm finally
the first one
it.
Wasn't perfect. But
yeah, yeah. And they teased you.
Guys. Stephen Sommers' G.I. Joe was not a perfect movie.
Surprise, surprise.
It was good. It was a solid movie.
The thing is that they teased you with Joseph Gordon-Levitt. Like, he's Cobra Commander, and you're like, what the fuck? Are you serious? He's going to be amazing. And then they didn't...
He's David Prowse.
Yeah, and you're like, douchebag. and then,
but also had Christopher Eccleston, and at the time, I was still very jazzed about him being Doctor Who.
Yeah. All right, so that is your number 10, and they have a new director, so you know it feels more. That's gonna have.
It's not a new director.
Yeah, it is.
No, it's not. What? Who?
It's not Stephen Sommers. G.I. Joe.
Oh
is,
yeah, yeah. Sorry,
he's the guy.
I thought you were talking. Sorry, I had the replacement thing in my head.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
it was delayed. And
yes. Yeah, it's.
They said for more 3D, but it was really for more Channing Tatum.
Exactly,
because no one expected Channing Tatum to be a movie star.
Well, more dancing scenes, really.
I hope so.
Extended dance scenes with Channing Tatum. All right, Jenny.
But we all really want Matthew McConaughey.
Oh yeah, he should have been. He should have been playing the Rock part yeah. without a shirt on.
No one replaces the Rock. Not even Matthew McConaughey.
Well, Jenny. Yeah,
maybe.
All right, I don't really have an order, but I'm gonna go with my 10 being Star Trek Into Darkness. Because we've semi-talked about it before.
Yes.
But, and we know that it looks pretty cool from what we've seen so far. I'm extremely excited. I loved the first one very much, and I'm very excited about this one.
Yes. You know what? I'll tell you what I hate. I'll start
tell
off
me
by
about
telling
it.
You what I fucking hate.
Let's
hate...
rip into the thing. No one's seen anything.
Yeah.
From.
No, it's
Let's
not,
get to
it's
it.
Not even a thing. I'm going to love this movie. I know I'm going to love it. I hate fucking Star Trek nerds. I'm sorry, guys. I know there's a lot of you listening.
Oh, you're looking at one right now.
Yeah. That start ripping it apart. That's like, well, it's not the thing I fucking broke up. It's like, dude, everybody loves Star Trek now. Even like Cholos fucking. So it's okay. It's making money. There's going to be more of them. And they're being more accessible to people. So let them be.
Here's my beef. And this is someone who really liked Star Trek, who really liked J.J. Abrams' Star Trek.
If you were French.
Oh, you did? Okay.
I was amazingly surprised at how much I enjoyed the
movie. If you were French, it would be Le Beef.
Le Beef.
Yeah.
No, that's Shia.
Yeah.
Shia Le Beef.
Yeah.
Le Beef.
Shia Le Beef.
I don't even know where that came from. We're talking about Star Trek.
Yes.
Why Shia Le
Beef? What's your beef?
The beef.
Oh, what's my beef?
Yeah.
What's my Shia?
Yeah.
What's your Shia?
Star Trek was its best when it blended... When it blended big ideas with this group of friends,
mm-hmm.
and I feel like we're losing out on the big ideas.
Okay,
and I don't blame that on J.J. Abrams necessarily. It's not like the Star Trek movies really ever had were filled with big. Although To a degree, they were. I mean, they did go talk to God in one. So, even though that was a terrible one. But I just, I don't like, I also don't like the trend of dark tone being more serious or more valid than something. I hate the title Star Trek Into Darkness. I hate the pun with the passion. And it just sounds, I liked, the reason I liked the first one is because of how fun it was. Mm-hmm. It was surprisingly fun and funny.
Yeah.
And just goofy in parts. Mm-hmm. And then it had some great action. It had amazing sequences to build on top of that. The opening of the movie was better than the entire movie. That one opening with Chris Hemsworth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I just don't like that direction. It could be something totally different.
Yeah.
I know they haven't opened the mystery box yet. Stupid J.J. Abrams. But I don't know. It's why it's actually number 7 on my list, whereas it should be
number
much,
one.
Much higher.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I'm just like,
But you're definitely a fan of the whole series, the Shatner series and all that stuff?
Yeah, I was more Next Generation as a kid.
Okay.
And the movies, the Shatner movies.
I was never into the shows, nothing, until like the movies, the modern movies, meaning the like First Contact and stuff like that. That's when I got into it. And it's funny because
Which is weird because those are terrible.
Yeah, and it's funny because I would get dragged into them and I'm like, I kind of like these. These aren't, I was a lot younger, so. And that's why I was able to, like, okay, I'll go see Star Trek. And it was fun.
Yeah,
I
and enjoyed some, it. Someone else brought up the point how in the new movies, like, Starfleet is a hindrance to everyone's plan.
Yeah.
Like, to save the day, it's a hindrance to everything.
Yeah.
When, like, part of it was the ideal of everyone being able to get together. It was a utopian thing of getting together and hope. And, you
now
know.
Now it's the man.
Exploring this. There's no Star Trekking.
Yeah.
No one's exploring anything. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's what made the show so great. Is that you would meet a new thing every week, and it was about curiosity and exploration. But these are not, which is fine, I guess, as long as it doesn't get dumb.
I do get that feel, that Star Trek, Star Wars feel from
it feels much more like Star Wars.
And of course, I mean, now we know that he's directing the new Star Wars. Which makes sense.
Sounds fine to me.
And mm-hmm. and sounds fine to me. I totally, like, when I heard that, I'm like, yeah, well, finally. Maybe he, you know. Well, my thing was, yeah, of course he would be, because Star Trek is as close as you can get to Star Wars.
Yeah, he made a giant demo. He made a $300 million demo reel for Star Wars.
I can direct Star Wars. but yeah, so I'm happy he's directing it, and... whatever.
I'm all about The Batch, though.
Yeah.
Even if it's something so dumb as playing Khan, I'm all about The Batch.
Oh, yeah. Me too. I'm excited to see him.
Oh, that voice, right, Jenny?
Oh, yeah. Oh,
whoa! Calm down.
Brandon knows.
Drink some water.
Seriously.
But all right. That is your number 10, Jenny?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I like that. I knew you were going to put... Somebody was going to put it on there, so I did not include it in my list.
I put enough on my list where if we... I know, you know, overlap, then it's okay. I can change things.
I had 33 films on my list. So
oh, wow. I narrowed it down to 18. So that's something.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Well, at least you have some.
That is something.
I guess, right? I don't know.
My number 10 is a cheat because it's a two-way tie. Because one of them, I don't know if it's coming out this year or they're going to hold it till next year.
You son of a bitch. Okay? What is it?
My number 2, I'll go with, I'll name one 11 just because. My number 11 will be Noah, the Darren Aronofsky film.
Oh, I didn't even know that was scheduled for 2013.
Yeah, well, it's supposed to be this year. I mean, it's done shooting. It's all like the effects that they're doing and stuff.
Okay.
But it's, so it, right now it's pending, but it could be next year. It could be this year. They don't know yet. So I'm really pumped for this. I've loved every movie Aronofsky has done. And this time he's working with one of the screenwriters I really kind of follow a lot, except for Sweeney Todd, and that is John Logan.
Sweeney Todd's great.
Yeah, he wrote The Aviator. He did Any Given Sunday. I've heard him talk, and I dig his philosophy on writing. And it's
did he write Wolverine, or am I just thinking of Logan, Wolverine's real name?
Yes, yeah, you're thinking of that.
Okay,
yeah, it was Christopher McQuarrie that wrote the Wolverine.
Oh, no. Sorry, I was thinking of his origins.
Oh, yes. No, I think he might have done a rewrite on it, but okay. Yeah. But yeah, Darren Aronofsky, writing, directing, and it stars Russell Crowe's Noah. Let me just rattle off some names
of
this cast.
That's pretty perfect.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's funny because a couple years ago, like, I was talking to, like, somebody, some, like, movie geek, and he's like, what would be, like, the most ambitious idea you have, like, for a movie? And I'm like, I would remake... It's funny because I'm not a religious person, but I'm like, I would remake The Ten Commandments with Russell Crowe as Moses.
Yeah, we don't get any of those anymore.
I don't know why.
Like, the big biblical...
Yeah, and I mean, like, Passion of the Christ made bank.
Yeah, so, and I mean, it was horrible.
Yeah, so I'm like, there's a market for it, you know?
Yeah.
There's the fireproof market, so...
So I watched that on a plane. I should talk about that. I did catch up with Fireproof.
So Noah stars Russell Crowe, Emma Watson, Logan Letterman, Jennifer Connelly, Anthony Hopkins, just to name a few. Raewyn Stone, Kevin Durant.
It's the closest thing we'll get to a sequel to Master Durant. And Commander.
Yeah, yeah. That was such a good movie. I keep watching it.
Yeah, it's one of my favorites of all time.
Yeah. It's so
isn't
fun.
Kevin Durant a basketball player?
He is.
Yes.
Is this Entourage Kevin Durant?
No, this is Entourage. Kevin Durant, the That's guy from Durant. From Lost. He played Kimi.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So that is my number. I'll call that my tie for 10. And then the other one is Upstream Color, written, directed by Shank Ruth.
You would.
Yep.
Yes.
This is on my list.
Yeah.
I looked at the trailer and I was like, I already know I'm not going to understand this movie. I already know I'm not going to get it.
She just saw...
I just watched Primer weeks ago, and I watched it alone. I had so many questions the entire time that by the end, I was like, I don't know what's going on.
Don't. Someone made this timeline, a map that you can find online.
I should do that.
It might confuse you
maybe.
Even more.
You might be right.
Yeah.
I just was confused.
He's like, you will have confused. To have the basic knowledge of physics
to
understand this map.
Yeah, Primer's intense, but I loved it.
I loved it.
I think I liked more just kind of the tone and the feeling, like the way it starts, like just kind of right away, but also kind of not. I don't know. Yeah. It's weird. It's hard to describe. I'm very excited for Upstream Color.
Yeah, it looks. It.
I
mean,
no, I mean, I have no idea what it is. I would just be interested to see another thing he does.
Shane, yeah.
Yeah.
Did he write and direct this one too?
Yes, and stars.
And it's starring.
Yeah. And I don't know if he did the. I know in Primer he did like the cinematography. He did the score. I'll just scroll down, and I'll tell you right now, he did do the cinematography and the score and edited. Yeah,
he's like nobody else has jobs. Yeah. He's like, what's his face?
He's like a good
Robert
version
Rodriguez.
Of
Robert Rodriguez. Yeah.
He is a good version of Robert Rodriguez.
Yeah, a really good version. So that is my number 10. The two-way tie.
Okay. Well, you know what? I'm going to do a tie then.
Do a tie.
Now, Evil Dead.
Ooh.
Okay.
Yeah. Number 9 is Evil Dead. All right. I'm very excited. I'm not normally this excited about remakes, but...
Me neither.
I am very, very excited for Evil Dead.
Well, what kind of perked my interest was the trailer, the Red Band trailer.
Yeah.
And
it just
got an NC-17 rating.
Yeah, which they won't
do.
He has to go back and cut it.
Oh,
yeah.
Geez.
Yeah.
So. You'll get to see the NC-17 version.
Oh yeah, on Blu-ray.
Yeah, I bet.
So.
Oh, it's Sam Raimi? I didn't know that.
He produced it.
And Bruce Campbell produced it.
Says he wrote it.
Oh, yeah, well he wrote the original.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
It's a remake.
Diablo.
Have you seen the original?
No, I've never seen. Maybe. I might have seen
it. If you haven't seen it, just start with 2, I'd say.
No, start with The Evil Dead. This is
a
remake
of
Evil
Dead.
Oh, no,
I've just seen the first one. Yeah, I've just seen the first one.
I'm sorry. Yes, watch
I've just,
the first
I forgot, yeah, Bruce Campbell, duh, Ash. I was trying to figure out if this is Ash.
There's no Ash in this one.
No.
Seen the first one, that's it. I've never seen the second one.
Yeah.
You've never seen Evil Dead 2?
No. Mm-mm.
That's surprising. Most people just see Evil Dead 2.
This is the only one that was on Netflix.
Oh, okay.
They didn't have Evil Dead 2 on.
Both of them are amazing.
I like all three of them. I like Army of Darkness, too.
Yeah, they're all great.
Yeah. I mean,
Army of Darkness, I've heard.
It's fun. It's just a fun movie. It's just really funny, period. But yeah.
So it's the same exact story?
No.
It was the guy, the guy got big off of a short that Sam Raimi had seen. He had an idea for a take on it, and they loved it, and so he's doing it.
Actually, like, the story goes...
But Diablo Cody wrote it, right?
She helped, like, co-write it.
Oh, okay.
She came in and did additional writing on it.
Oh, okay.
She didn't co-write it, I'm lying. She just came in and did some rewrites.
From the original script?
Yeah, from this guy's... I forgot his name.
I think she wrote it from his idea. I think she's a writer, yeah.
All right, I just don't want to admit it. I don't like her. Sorry. I am looking forward to this, and I will be watching a midnight show of this.
You're going to see it at midnight?
I'm going to see it at midnight. Get a little
Is it an
spooky.
October one?
It is. I shouldn't be. No, it should be summer. It's fairly, summer.
Yeah.
It's like May or something.
Oh, okay.
Maybe even spring, yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Jenny, what is your number nine?
I'm going to go with... I'll go with Pacific Rim.
Yes. Yeah. I'm glad somebody put it in their list.
It's my number one.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's okay.
I can change
Just move stuff around.
Let's talk about it now.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm extremely excited about this one.
I'm psyched.
Yeah.
I think...
If anybody was at Comic-Con last year, it was really cool because they had... Have you been to Comic-Con, by the way? They have that main screen in the front.
Hall H.
Yeah, Hall H. And it's a huge screen. Well, when they did Pacific Rim, two other screens started opening and everyone's like, what the fuck?
Yeah,
what's going
two
on?
Extra screens on the yeah. side.
So you had three screens like being projected stuff and you're like, what's going on? And like Guillermo Toro came out and he was like cursing at everybody like, yeah, it's going to be fucking amazing. And like, yeah.
God damn it. I love Guillermo del Toro.
Yeah, I do too.
I really and do. I mean, just
Here's
the cast.
$300 million. Just go play with
shit
stuff.
Up. Yeah.
yeah. What do you want? Giant kaiju monsters and robots?
Yeah. Sure.
Yeah,
sure.
Right?
Sure. What I like about this movie is even he talked about it, how the scope of it, he's like, a lot of movies you see, you know, like Transformers and stuff, they go to wides where you see the whole Transformer fighting. And he's like, in real life, you want to see it in the point of view of a human. So you only see pieces of it at a time. So you'll see like, so you always see the scope of how big this thing is, you know?
Just stop it.
You're like, my pants are getting wet. I only brought one pair of shorts. but yeah, so, and the cast is amazing.
Charlie Hunnam.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Love, hate Sons of Anarchy. It's one of the worst things ever, but it's also one of the greatest.
You know what?
And he's good.
You know I want? That. And it's funny because he said he had a weird time experience with it. I fucking want him to do comedy again. He was amazingly funny on Undeclared. And
oh yeah, I always forget he's on that.
I've heard him talk about it, and he's like, "Yeah, I didn't get it." He's like, "I didn't get it."
He didn't get comedy.
No, he didn't get like the writing of it and stuff. I guess because he's British or Australian?
He's Australian.
Oh okay.
And
where we get all of our men these days?
Yes. And Ron Perlman's in it and stuff.
So. Idris Elba finally getting a chance to use his real accent.
Charlie
in
Day,
an American movie.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, Charlie Day
as a physicist.
Probably a very small role.
Yeah. So definitely looking forward to it. And another midnight show of this. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I could not be. Guillermo del Toro with a shitload of money and big scope.
Are they doing this in 3D too?
I think so.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure that's just a mandate at this point for certain things.
Yeah. That's what I was thinking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he also may want to.
Yeah. Yeah. I think he said that he was happy with it. I think a lot of people are actually happier with the post 3D. A lot of the big directors that know what they're doing, because they, you know, they pick and choose. They could really kind of get in, you know, into the details of it as opposed to.
Yeah, it just depends on how much money you put into it. Cause
mm-hmm.
It can look like
it could look shitty. Yeah,
he might have filmed in 3D. I don't know.
Yeah,
but the only people who can do 3D are good directors anyway. So.
Yes, yeah. So definitely looking forward to that. My number nine is The Wolverine.
The Wolverine.
Really?
Yes. Every project that Aronofsky leaves is well done.
He was going to do this?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
What's another one?
The Fighter.
The Fighter.
I'm a huge fan of that. Yeah. There's another one that I'm forgetting, but all the projects he's left, he leaves them in good hands and they turn out to be great projects. And this is one of them. And plus it's a director I like. It's James Mangold. He directed Walk the Line, Copland, which I'm a big fan of.
Night and Day,
which I'm not a big fan of.
I actually kind of like Night and Day.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, Tom Cruise in full-on movie mode. Full-on movie star mode. It's pretty good.
He's just playing Tom Cruise as a super spy. But the original script was written by Christopher McQuarrie. That did Usual Suspects, and he just wrote and directed the Tom Cruise movie.
Jack Reacher,
yes. I was drawing a blank. But then there was a couple of rewrites by two screenwriters that I love, Scott Frank and Mark Baumbach, who just was nominated for Zero Dark Thirty. So
yeah,
It's going to be great. And
is this supposed to be after Origins, or are they just ignoring Origins?
They're ignoring Origins. They say it's a sequel to the original ones, 1 and 2.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's like after that. That's what I'm hearing, but you know, you can never trust.
I'm interested for the Japanese stuff.
Yeah, I'm definitely interested for that. And yeah, Hugh Jackman looks just incredibly ripped for this. So looking forward to it. So that's my number 9. Brandon, what are you bringing to the table?
I don't know. I feel like there's so much stuff. All right, Inside Llewyn Davis. If you have a movie with...
Yes.
If you have a year with the Coen Brothers movie coming out, it's going to be one of my most anticipated.
Yep.
The trailer just came out a few days ago. Yeah. It looks amazing.
Yeah, it does.
Folk singer traveling from New York to Los Angeles with a cat in tow and John Goodman on the road. I'm in.
I keep hearing from like people that have kind of either seen like a preview screening of it and all that it's close to come to a musical from them.
Really?
Because there's a bunch of numbers from different people. Yeah.
More than O Brother Art, though?
Yeah, yeah. That was such a fun movie.
Yeah, it was great.
Yeah.
They have never not... The Lady Killers. But that was still fun, I guess. It just wasn't very good.
Intolerable Cruelty.
Yeah. It did have that one amazing scene, though. The one, like, real Coen Brothers-ish scene.
Yeah, yeah.
Where he goes to see the... I can't remember what they call him, but the boss of the company. Like, in the basement. It felt very Hudsucker Proxy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. I like that. And it looks amazing.
Yeah, it looks just great.
Like the cinematography is like, and what's the actor's name? I like the guy from Drive. Oscar Isaacs or Isaac Oscar? One of the two.
Oscar Isaac.
Is that who it is?
Yeah. He played the, husband.
I was thinking of Garrett Hedlund, but he's in the movie. He just plays somebody else.
Really? Justin Timberlake in a Coen Brothers movie?
I think he sings too in this. Yeah, he's singing.
Interesting.
Oh man, I didn't know that. That kind of turns me off.
I don't know how that'll work.
Do you want to edit your list?
No, I'm still excited. I trust the Coen Brothers implicitly.
I haven't seen the trailer for this one yet. I actually haven't even heard of this one. So
it's really good.
It being the Coen Brothers in general excites me.
There's a shot of him on the subway that's right from the cat's point of view, looking at his own reflection. I was in.
Yeah, yeah. I'm in with this movie, too. It's not on my list, but I'm glad you brought it up.
Oh, it's a December one, too.
Yeah.
It's kind of good.
Oh, shit.
It's
a long way.
It's a good math thing. Good that it's in December because it's an Oscar.
They're always going to want to get a Coen Brothers movie out in
bad because we have to wait so long. Yeah. So, Jenny, what is your number 8?
All right. For my number 8, I'm going to do Much Ado About Nothing.
Cool.
That was on my list.
Sorry.
That's okay. It was on the backup list.
Oh, okay, good.
I'm kind of picking from that, too.
Me too. Yeah. I'm super excited about this. I like Shakespeare a lot. Like, I love the modern takes on Shakespeare, too. And I love this one. When was the original from? 90s?
Kevin Kline and...
Is Kevin Kline in it?
It was in the 90s.
It's early. One of those. Anyways, I really like that one.
It's Joss Whedon. What can you say?
Yeah, Joss Whedon's going to just totally make it.
It's in black and white.
Fantastic.
He would just, whenever he was making stuff, he would just bring the actors over to his house and they would read Shakespeare in the off time.
Yeah.
Like on their days off.
Are they actually...
That's fucking amazing.
Yeah.
Are they actually speaking Shakespearean?
Yeah.
Okay. I wasn't sure.
Yeah.
We'll see. I don't know.
I'm excited.
Sometimes I'm iffy about that.
I did not like Romeo and Juliet.
Really?
Baz Luhrmann. And I know I'm probably the crazy one because literally everybody loves that movie.
You know what?
I need to revisit it.
I'm always a flip-flopper on that one. Like sometimes when I'm in the mood, I'm like, oh, this is awesome.
Yeah, I might be more of a sap now, so I might really enjoy it.
Yeah, you know who kills it for me in that movie? I mean, meaning killing it like an awesome way?
John Leguizamo.
Yeah, fucking A, dude. I'm being serious. Yeah. I love that guy.
I like
is he playing his uncle or his...
John Leguizamo? John Leguizamo plays Tybalt.
Tybalt, yeah. That's right.
I was making fun of his one-man shows.
Yeah.
Oh.
And he is amazing in that. I feel like that guy doesn't get enough credit.
John Leguizamo?
Yeah.
He might get as much credit as he needs.
Really? I think he's more talented than people give him credit for.
He's good. He's always good.
I think with the right person directing him in the right project, he's amazing.
What was the last good thing he was in?
Romeo and Juliet.
Spawn?
So, but I just dig him. I dig him. I think he's good.
He was good in Executive Decision.
He was good in Executive Decision. Yeah. So was Steven Seagal. But he,
Steven Seagal is the best. Spoiler alert. Executive decision.
He dies two minutes into the movie.
Pulls a Janet Leigh. It's fine.
Yeah.
There's such a good cast.
An executive decision?
That too, but also this one.
Kurt Russell? Let's not forget.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But no.
Usual Joss Whedon.
Read some names off. Relative names off.
Nathan Fillion. Fran Kranz.
Who, let's not forget, has a prize closet in his house. So when people come over for stuff, he was like, hey, have something out of the prize closet.
What?
Really?
I need one of those.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Well, because he gets free shit all the time from like bags at shows and stuff like that. So he just puts it all in this prize closet. That if you're ever at his house, you can go get a prize.
Oh, nice.
So it's all like, you know, branded iPad cases and covers and shit like that, you know.
I could totally be BFFs with him.
Yeah.
I think we deserve it.
He's great.
Clark Gregg.
Yeah.
Stalwart.
Amy Acker.
Yeah.
A lot of
I'm looking forward
Cabin
to this.
In the Woods people.
Yeah. What's his name? The guy who played, he was on Angel. He was on Buffy. I haven't seen Angel, but he was on Buffy. He's married to Allison Hannigan. He played like the other watcher on Buffy. I can't remember his name.
I can't remember his name either.
I never watched Buffy. Sorry. but yeah, that's one of them I'm looking forward to. That is your number eight, correct?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Cool. My number eight is, I was going to name it, I've rattled off a year, but it's this year. I went with The World's End.
Number three.
Yes.
Number three on
my
list.
Yeah, I put that, but I'll take it off. Because I don't know anything about it, just the cat. Everything about it sounds awesome enough to make me want to.
Five friends who reunite in an attempt to top their epic pub crawl from 20 years earlier unwittingly become mankind's only hope for survival.
Simon Pegg, Nick Frost, Martin Freeman. Else?
Patty Constantine, Eddie Marzen.
Okay.
And a bunch of people who have been in like the other movies. A bunch
character
of like
actors.
Yeah, character actors.
And then Edgar Wright directs.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Rosamund Pike is in it.
Okay. Yeah, that's what I was trying to think of.
I'm on board. I loved all three. This is the third one in the series of, you know.
Only because same writer, director.
Yeah. And I don't know if they're going to keep doing that. I think they said this is their last one together.
Yeah, this is probably last
one. Yeah. So I'm looking forward to it. Written, directed.
The Blood and Ice Cream trilogy.
Yes. Yeah. The World's End. Simon Pegg is also writing on it. So I'm on board. I'm excited.
I'm so on board.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That is my number eight.
Nice.
Oh. What are people not going to talk about? What are you two probably not excited about that I'm excited about? How about Thor the Dark World?
Oh, okay.
Oh, that's a good one. I didn't put it on my list, so you could talk about that.
Yeah,
I'm super excited. I really liked Thor. I did too.
Really?
I understand why it's also a bad movie, but I really enjoyed it.
I did too. I've seen it multiple times and I liked it.
Yeah, Chris Hemsworth is awesome.
Mm-hmm. He was a perfect Thor. I agree with that.
Yeah, he's the perfect Thor.
I've rewatched both of them because they were on Netflix streaming. And I got to say, I like Captain America better.
I like Captain America better too. Because it suffers from, like, all the Earthbound stuff is ill-served in Thor.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they either needed to not, I mean, you had to have that, but it actually needed more time there.
Yes.
Because
yes.
I didn't, like, buy into any of it.
Me neither, yeah.
I liked it. I did not like it. It's just that things moved very quickly for, you know, an alien god.
Yeah.
from above to fall in love with Natalie Portman. I can believe that they fall in love. I just need to spend a little bit more time with them.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not looking for Before Sunset.
Romance.
Just a little more.
How awesome time would that be? If Richard Linklater came in and just like reshot some scenes where they're just Thor and like and Natalie Portman
walking
around
the desert.
Yeah. Walking through New Mexico.
Just walking through that tiny manufactured town.
Talking about like, you know, his world and love and, you know, how bullshit, you know. Soulmates are, and that'd be amazing. And Thor with his British accent, you know?
Yeah.
I'd watch that movie. Someone's got to make that movie.
But Alan Taylor, who is television director, directed a bunch of Game of Thrones, but closer to my heart is Rome.
Yeah.
Directed a bunch of Rome.
Oh, okay.
I love Rome.
Oh, Rome is the best.
And
Ray Stevenson. I didn't realize. Reunion of Alan Taylor and Ray Stevenson.
Oh, yeah. He's in that.
Yeah.
I love Rome.
It's probably my most rewatched television series, probably
really?
Because there's so few of them.
You know what my
and
only
it's
complaint
super rewatchable.
My only complaint is that I fucking love young Octavius, is his name?
Octavius, yeah.
Octavius. I love that kid. He was an amazing actor.
Yeah, whenever him and Ray Stevenson teamed up on Avengers,
yeah,
that was the best. When they killed that guy in the sewer, come on.
Yeah. I wanted more of them together, more of the young version. And then when they went to the older version of him, I wasn't a fan.
Yeah, well, they had to speed up time because they realized they weren't going to get another season.
Yeah, I get you, but fuck, that kid was a good actor.
Yeah.
And callback to Master and Commander. He's in the Master and Commander.
Yeah. Yeah, he gets his arm sewn off of Master and Commander.
He's all, just bite into this, son. But yeah.
What was Admiral Nelson like?
I am looking forward to Thor to a certain extent. And I hope
Christopher Eccleston, guy whose name I can't pronounce, makes me feel racist right now. But he was on Lost. Played the preacher on Lost. Totally underused on Lost.
The preacher?
Yeah, Echo.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's also in G.I. Joe 1. Yeah.
I don't remember.
He trains them to use the suits. The robot suits. Okay.
Was Idris in the first Thor?
No. Oh, yeah,
yes.
He was.
Yeah.
He's the portal master.
Yeah, he's the gatekeeper.
Oh, Dungeon master. That's right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't know much about Thor. Like,
I don't either. Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Sorry, guys. But I am looking forward to this, and I hope it takes place more in space than it does on Earth. Which
I think it does.
That's the idea, right?
Yeah. I don't even think, is Natalie Portman even in it?
I don't think she's in it.
It says it on here.
Does she?
Yeah.
I know she was really upset when the girl got fired as a director. Kimberly Pierce.
Oh, in Thor the Dark World?
Yeah. She was the first director on it, and then she got fired.
Well, maybe she's not in it for very long, especially if they go into space.
Yeah.
More.
She can't breathe in space.
Well, if the lady directed all the Natalie Portman stuff, then we're just going to get rid of her.
Yeah.
But yeah. All right. Good pick.
Yeah, that happens a lot lately, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Well, it happened one other time, I think. But that was a bummer. Brenda Chapman.
For what?
Brave.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. That sucks.
Like, it was two-thirds of the, like, she made it two-thirds of the way through, and then they replaced her. Yeah.
They're like, well,
and she didn't even get, like, she developed the whole thing, but then it won the Golden Globe, and she's not ever mentioned at all.
Do you know any of the beef with that?
No, I don't know.
Yeah, that sucks.
Creative differences, isn't that what it usually is, no matter what?
Yeah, I haven't seen The Brave, so.
What number are we on?
8, I think, right? Or 7? 7, I think.
7?
Yes.
Okay, it doesn't matter anyways. My number 7 is going to be 42.
Yeah.
I'm really excited about this
baseball thing, right?
Yep. Jackie Robinson.
Yeah, I'm really excited about this one. I don't know this kid, Chadwick Boseman, mm-hmm. Boseman, but he seems perfect for this role for some reason.
Yep.
And the rest of the cast is great. Harrison Ford, Alan Tudyk. Who else is in it?
Didn't Billy Crystal make a movie called 42 about Jackie Robinson for HBO?
No,
5 years ago or something?
It was about Mickey Mantle.
Oh, okay. But it was called 42.
I don't remember. I don't know Mickey Mantle's.
Whose number was 42?
I'm anti-Yankees, dude. Don't ever ask me a question about the fucking Yankees, dude. Okay.
Now you know.
I'll look it up. It was Barry Pepper was in it, I know.
Yeah.
I think it was called. I think it was 42. I want to say
for sure it was called 42.
Yeah.
Really?
But was that, did Jackie Robinson, besides being?
No, Jackie Robinson was in the Brooklyn Dodgers.
Okay.
Different team.
Don't you fucking talk to me about the Brooklyn Dodgers.
Fucking.
Still burns.
But yeah, so I'm looking forward to this. I love baseball movies.
Yes. It's got a great cast. It sounds interesting. Do you know anything about this guy, Brian?
No, just that he looks awesome in it. That's all I know.
Brian who?
No, the director.
Oh yeah, he
Brian Helgeland.
Yeah, he's awesome.
Oh, really?
He wrote a bunch of stuff for Ridley Scott.
He wrote Knight's Tale.
Oh, yeah. I see. Okay,
Payback?
Man on Fire.
He wrote Payback.
Yeah. He might have, did he direct that?
Yeah, he directed it too.
Yeah. He's a good director, a good writer too.
Yeah, I love Payback. Yeah. I like both versions of Payback.
Yeah,
that's exciting. Okay, cool.
Yeah, no. From on paper, it looks amazing. I mean, everybody involved, and it just, you know, a little extra the fact that it's the Brooklyn Dodgers. Yeah. All right.
Cool.
Where are we at? 7, you said?
Yes.
7 is another end of the world movie for me, and it's called This Is the End.
Yeah.
Yeah, it looks pretty good.
I like that one.
Yeah. If you don't know what that is, it's basically James Franco, Jonah Hill, Jason Segel, Seth Rogen, Jay Baruchel. Who else? Basically, it's them playing themselves, and it's the end of the world. So imagine the world's ending, and all these actors are playing themselves.
Fuck, that trailer is great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love anyone else. I would really get tired of Danny McBride being Danny McBride. Yeah. Danny McBride will never not be funny.
He's just perfect as himself.
Yeah. I hope the movie doesn't kind of like drown in all of that, in the self-recognition and everything.
Yeah. My favorite line is now I know you guys were definitely hallucinating. James Franco wasn't sucking on dick. and I'll name some of the names that are in it and playing themselves, by the way. James Franco, Emma Watson, Jonah Hill, Paul Rudd, Jason Segel, Seth Rogen, Michael Cera. My favorite line too is when he's all, Michael Cera's dead? He's all, then it wasn't a total loss. Martin Starr, Kevin Hart, Mindy Kaling, Danny McBride, David Krumholtz, Aziz Ansari, Rihanna's in it. Craig Robinson, Evan Goldberg. It's gonna be really funny and very. I hate saying the word. Say it, Jenny. M-E-T-A.
Meat.
Meta.
Oh.
I fucking hate saying that word.
M-E-T-A.
I fucking hate
meta. D-Y-S-L-E-X.
I had to do it really quick. Yeah. Sorry.
You're a meat meta. Vitamin meat up vitamin.
Yeah, I say it all the time. Meat.
I don't.
Meat.
For some reason,
Jenny, you say it. Meat.
I hate saying that word because it just feels so weird. It just feels like I feel my soul feels weird when I say that word. I don't know why.
I don't know why either.
Yeah.
I'm not falling into your trap.
I don't know. I'm not it's not a trap.
I'm just, not you're not gonna make me say that that's very meta.
No, no.
It's very
no.
That is very meta.
No, it's just weird. It makes me feel weird. Okay. Where are we at? Six?
I don't know, six?
Yeah.
We'll just name six more movies. All right.
We're at number six.
I'm going to say why I didn't pick it. Okay, here's a thing. This might bring up a discussion.
Whoa.
So ordinarily, I would say I'm very excited for Ender's Game.
Okay. I don't know nothing about this.
My friends were always, it was like their favorite book as a kid growing up. And I had only read the book. Like, I don't know, 6 or 7 years ago.
Okay.
I guess it was a while ago that I read it. But it was really great. But Orson Scott Card is kind of a terrible human being. and he was the one who wrote it. And it actually makes me feel weird about a movie of it.
So I never read the books or know anything. So
It's about like a training program for, and I'm probably going to get like a lot of this wrong because I'm not remembering it right or something, but it's about a training program for children to fight, and it's like they have to learn how to control these things and like in a war, but it's kind of all about them at this academy playing the game, and I probably still got a bunch of that wrong, but Harrison Ford, I can't remember who's playing.
Abigail Breslin. Haley, the girl from True Grit. Haley
Seinfeld. Yeah.
Ben Kingsley, Viola Davis. Yeah. It looks, I mean, the only thing I don't like on here is Gavin Hood. Not a fan of Gavin Hood.
Is that the director?
Yeah, he wrote it too.
What else has he done?
Gavin Hood is the guy who made a little tiny movie. Yes. He did a little movie called Wolverine.
That's right.
Origins. And he did a Tutsi. Remember? The foreign film that got nominated.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Not a fan of this guy. I won't lie to you.
Yeah, I just think it's weird. I think it's weird that it's one removed, because we talk about, like, you know, Roman Polanski.
Yeah.
Who raped a girl.
Yeah.
And people still laud him for his movies and stuff. Which is fine, I guess. Woody Allen did a skeezy thing, and people still love Woody Allen. So, I guess I feel weird about it.
Tim Burton did a horrible thing,
too. Such a horrible human being. What did Tim Burton do?
He directed Planet of the Apes.
Oh, he did. Matthew Broderick killed someone by driving on the wrong side of the road drunk in England.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Wow. That's scary.
People do shit?
Yeah.
People do shit.
I guess I should learn to forget Tim Burton. But yeah, so this is...
But anyway, that's why I removed it.
Okay. So,
okay, so what's my choice?
We spent 10 minutes talking about movies on your list. I like it, though.
This, I didn't even know this movie existed until I started reading about movies at Sundance. The Look of Love directed by Michael Winterbottom.
Oh, yeah.
Steve Coogan as a man whose name I don't know, who was, I guess, some porn king in England, became, you know, one of the richest guys in the world. This is solely off of how much I love 24-Hour Party People, which is the last biopic that Steve Coogan made with Michael Winterbottom.
Yeah.
Although Tristram Shandy, I guess, also was Michael Winterbottom.
Yeah.
But he wasn't playing a necessarily real guy in that.
I'm always interested by Michael Winterbottom, no matter what he does. I know he did Nine Songs, which was that first movie that to have like full penetration.
I didn't see that. I won't know.
It was interesting because, I mean, I was a big fan of some of the bands that were in it, too. And the sex scenes weren't bad at all. But it's really weird, though, because you're like, this is a mainstream movie. I shouldn't be watching this. It's when, like, two worlds intersect, when you're like, I'm not watching porn. I'm watching a real movie. What's going on in my TV?
The Brown Bunny?
That wasn't too bad because it was just a quick scene. And the thing is, it was in his pants, so it could have been a prosthetic.
But it wasn't.
That's what they say, but I don't know. Like
he
now,
he comes in the scene.
Could have been a prosthetic, dude. I'll go. And the thing is, I actually like the Brown Bunny.
Really?
It's fucking really slow. Of course, oh, I Jesus. Fucking love it. Yeah.
So still, that scene was so still.
Yeah. but yeah, I like. Yeah, and he's done Code 46 I haven't seen. I know Kevin talked about it like a week or two ago. I have to see that.
I think I've only seen his Steve Coogan movies.
The Killer Inside Me was great. And
The Killer Inside Me, okay.
The Trip.
Oh, that's right. He did do The Trip.
Yeah, yeah. So I am definitely excited.
Okay, so Killer Inside Me and his Steve Coogan work.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And 24-Hour Party People.
24-Hour Party People is amazing. Yeah. That was one of my favorite movies. When I first went to college and I was doing a lot of drugs, 24-Hour Party People was my favorite movie of all time.
That was your anthem?
Yeah. And it is also a very, very good movie.
Yeah, it is. It is. It is. I am looking forward to that.
He's awesome in it. When Steve Coogan hits it, he nails it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. All right. Jenny, what is your number six?
Oh, shit.
Whoa.
Sorry. Okay. I will put Elysium. How about that?
Ooh, good one.
I'll take it. I'm excited for that. That was on my list also.
Yes, I'm really excited about this one. I don't think they've released a trailer yet, but we saw a little bit, really little bit at Comic-Con, and just enough to like see what we were getting into.
Yes.
And Matt Damon looks awesome. Like, he looks crazy, like sickly, but badass at the same time. It's very interesting. I don't know if people know what it's about. I'll kind of say what the thing is. Set in the year 2159, where the very wealthy live on a man-made space station while the rest of the population resides on a ruined Earth, a man takes on a mission that could bring equality to the polarized worlds. So this man-made space station has like no sickness, and all the rich people live there, and then down on Earth, it's like crazy.
Like slums, kind of.
Yeah, slums, and everyone's dying, and Matt Damon gets a really bad disease and needs to get up there to get some safety. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, from what we saw.
Battle Angel, a little District 9.
Yeah.
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 It looked really cool. I'm like, I mean, the stories we're telling, some of the sets look like really like gross.
Yeah.
And they're like, yeah, we were filming in this like landfill in Mexico City. There was fecal matter all over the air.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like, what? Yeah, so, just the fight alone with like Matt Damon and Charito.
Charlton Copley?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Looks badass.
Yeah, I'm excited. Yeah. Again, it's one of those things, it's like, I know nothing about it except the director involved, and I'm in.
Yeah.
Yeah, he did what, District?
District 9.
Yeah.
That's
District
9.
Yeah.
Almost a Halo movie.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He should have done a Halo movie.
Well, he did that commercial spot, that extended commercial.
Oh, okay.
He was going to direct it, right?
Didn't
he? But the budget went over. It was like
It was one of those things that's like, I don't think it was ever actually going to get
made.
Know, they started developing it because it's a property, but
no one's going to do it.
Yeah,
eventually. All right. That movie looks really good. Good sci-fi, guys. I'm looking forward to my number six. Little movie called Jack Ryan.
Really?
I fucking love Tom Clancy. Love Tom Clancy.
Thought you were going to say Chris Pine. Didn't know you were going to go for the general Tom Clancy thing.
Oh, yeah.
He has nothing to do with this, you know.
Oh, yeah, I know. But still, okay. anything sort of related, anything Jack Ryan, John Clark, And you throw those names at me, and I'm like, where are
I they? Do love Clear and Present Danger.
Yes.
Pager Games is great.
That's no.
But I've seen Clear and Present Danger is my lot.
Favorite movie of the trilogy. Is it four, including four. Hunt for Red October?
Hunt for Red October, yeah. And The Sum of All Fears.
Yeah. So this one's directed by Kenneth Branagh. So
a lot of Dutch angles.
Yep. Well, if it was directed by Brian De Palma, there would be even more Dutch angles.
Yeah. So it could be worse.
Yeah. So it's Kenneth Branagh, and Steve Zaillian wrote it. So it's going to be fucking awesome.
Pine is Jack Ryan. Should be good.
Keira Knightley's in it. I know Kevin Costner is credited as being William Harper in this, but I know for a fact that they've already talked about him getting his own spinoff movie, and he's really playing John Clark, which I'm really pumped about because I think he's a perfect John Clark.
Yeah.
And I think they're going to have him do his own John Clark movie, and then they're going to keep jumping back and forth into each other's movies, which I'm a fan of. I love Kevin Costner.
I wanted the one where he becomes president.
Where John Clark becomes president?
No, Jack Ryan.
Oh, Jack Ryan. Oh.
Yeah, there's a book where Jack Ryan becomes president.
That's right. That's nuts, dude. I'm a big fan of the Clancy, and Chris Pine is not bad to look at.
Chris Pine's great.
Yeah.
He was really good in Star Trek.
Yeah.
I didn't see Unstoppable. I wanted to see Unstoppable.
I saw it on video. It was fun.
Yeah.
I thought it was fun. It's Tony Scott. It's what do you expect?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's true.
So yeah. That is my number six.
Cool.
Okay. Let's see. Here's something I'm just very, very interested in and that I think is coming out this year. 47 Ronin.
It's on the bottom of my it's on my honorable mentions.
Is it? Okay.
It is coming out this year. It was supposed to come out last year.
Yeah, because I have no idea what they're doing to it.
Yeah.
That has made it so delayed. Because it's been I feel like it's been either in production or development for like 6 years.
Are you a fan of the graphic novel? Or what is it?
It's a story.
I don't know the story. It's know I heard 47 Ronin and I'm on board.
Yeah.
You should have said samurai and I'm on board, dude.
Yeah, it's an old story about the 47 Ronin avenging their master.
The master.
Yeah.
Yes.
Robert De Niro tells the story in Ronin.
Oh, that's right. That's dope. Yeah. Keanu Reeves is in it. What else do you need to know?
Yeah, I like Keanu Reeves. I like him a lot.
Yeah.
But I don't know, is it like motion captured?
Is it?
I feel like there's a big computer generated element to this.
I don't know.
That I read somewhere.
Really?
I just, the mystery of what it's actually going to be is what makes me so interested.
That's another movie where I heard the director got replaced, too.
I think a lot of people got replaced.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
I think Keanu Reeves is playing all 47 Ronin.
Like in The Matrix, he's playing all the agents.
Saw Cloud Atlas, he's like, fuck that. I'm playing all the 47 Ronin.
Yeah. Just put some fake eyebrows on me, and I'm good to go, guys. yeah, I'm on board. I'm on board for that. That was on my list, my honorable mentions. So, Jenny?
All right. I'm going to do a... should I do a tie? I guess I could just do two separate ones. They're both magic movies, but this one is...
Magic Mike Part 2?
Magic Mike Part 2. Magic all the way. This one is Magic All the Way.
It's called Magic Mike 2, Magic All the Way. It's a Christmas movie, guys.
Yeah. So I'm going to do, it's my number five, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Now You See Me.
I am looking forward to this. I like me some magic.
I love magic.
Yeah.
I love magic. And this just, I don't know. It's got some part of it that I couldn't understand what, you know, like. There's going to be something else going on. It's not just magic. There's got to be something Robin Hood-esque or something. Yeah. I don't know.
I haven't seen the trailer for it.
You haven't seen it?
Mm-mm.
I love magic so much. For a while, maybe like 5-7 years ago, there was a project going around. I desperately tried to get my hands on the script, but I couldn't do it. It was a Houdini project biopic. With Tom Cruise and Ang Lee directing.
Mm-hmm.
And then at one point,
there's a few
Michael Mann was doing it.
Ago, yeah.
And I fucking desperately want... right now, all I have to go on is my Tony Curtis Houdini movie, which is good, too, which I enjoy. But I really want a modern Houdini movie. So Hopefully that happens. And until then, I'm going to see.
But that one that was in development wasn't about Houdini as an illusionist. Wasn't it about Houdini as the skeptic? Wasn't really? That the basis for it? I feel like the last big Houdini project going around was about him being a skeptic, you know, in his later years.
I think that one was
the
one. And
it actually had like a weird, it sounded dumb. It had like a supernatural element to
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's the one that actually. Kind yeah. of
like, what was it, the Raven? Was that stupid Edgar Allan Poe?
I think they did.
Supernatural Adventurer.
Actually, I think they did make this with Guy Pierce and Catherine Zeta-Jones. I think they did like something like
that. Okay.
Yeah, Death Defying something. Death Defying Act or something.
Okay.
It was called, I think. But yeah, this is written by Ed Solomon, the Now You See Me, who did The Men in Black. And I mean,
it's Jesse Eisenberg, Mark Ruffalo, Michael Caine, Morgan Freeman, Isla Fisher, Dave Franco, Woody Harrelson, Common. It's got a bunch of people, big names in it, and it looks pretty interesting.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I'm on board with this movie.
Jesse Eisenberg is somebody I'm kind of tired of. I mentioned Danny McBride.
Really?
And how I love seeing Danny McBride be Danny McBride all the time, but Jesse Eisenberg is always Jesse Eisenberg.
He's Woody Allen. He's a young Woody Allen.
No, that's what people say, but that's not true. We all know that's not
true. Yeah, it's not true. But still, one could dream.
I could maybe see that. I don't know, because he's slowly
growing
up a little bit. Like, yeah. I think in a lot of his first beginning stuff, he was just like the young kid that's kind of shy.
The nervous kid.
He's played a lot of those roles, yeah.
Like Michael Cera.
You need to be on the lookout for always playing the same guy, and that's kind of what they do.
This one looks a little bit like he's more just the intelligent, like, FBI agent. Or not FBI, but, like, intelligent agent or something. I don't know. Intelligent something or other.
Who, Jesse Eisenberg?
Yeah.
He's one of the magicians.
No, I know.
Yeah.
No, I know. But he seems like he's
but
like
is
the,
he?
Oh.
He's like one of the smart, one of the group. Yeah. Not the nerdy so much, but like.
Like the confident.
Confident,
guy.
Smart.
The lead. Yeah.
Yeah, I couldn't say, but that's what the word is, what I was looking for. Confident. Thank you.
And I am looking forward to this, so. Yeah.
And your tie is with?
Oh yeah. The Incredible Burt Wonderstone. The other magician movie that's like the comedy version of it with Steve Carell and Jim Carrey. It looks funny. That's all.
Go
I
see the
say.
Trailer.
Yeah.
This is the thing. Anytime you put Steve Buscemi in a comedy, it's gonna be fucking funny.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Because he's amazingly funny, and people.
God, he's so fucking great on 30 Rock.
Yeah, people don't know. People forget that. Hey, he's so creepy that people forget that he's funny because of that. Because he's so like.
He's so good in Boardwalk.
Yeah. And just being a creepy guy.
He's like Bryan Cranston, because you're fucking scared of Bryan Cranston, but he is hilarious.
Yeah. But
Alan Arkin's in it too, and he looks, I love Alan Arkin. He's so fucking funny.
Big year for Jim Carrey.
Yeah.
Return of Jim Carrey. He's in another thing I was going to talk about. Yeah.
All right, we'll talk about it later.
We should talk about it.
my favorite Steve Buscemi, even though it's a shitty movie, but I like him in Mr. Deeds.
Yeah.
When he's like, why'd you punch the mailman? He's like, he tried to put a spell on me. He's like, or maybe he was just waving at me.
I love him.
My number five, we're getting to the nitty gritty of things. It's Mud. It premiered at Sundance. I love this director, Jeff Nichols. He did Shotgun Stories, Take Shelter, and this is his third feature. And it stars Magic Mike alum. Matthew McConaughey.
That's what we know him from.
Sarah Paulson is in it. Reese Witherspoon, Michael Shannon, Sam Shepard. What else do you need, dude?
True.
Jeff Nichols.
I would have said Matthew McConaughey, but you already said it.
I already said it, dude. The only other thing it could use is a little Channing Tatum. But hey,
no,
maybe. But yeah, so
I have sounded sexually attracted to a lot of guys throughout this episode. Drawing the line at Channing Tatum.
All right. But
looks
weird.
Written,
directed by Jeff Nichols. The trailer's out. Check it out. It looks fun. Jeff Nichols is really good at that, like, tense drama. Him and his film school friend who kind of came up together. This guy's taken a little bit longer to get into the spotlight. But David Gordon Green is his other partner.
Oh yeah.
It was the three guys that came out of that college were David Gordon Green, Jeff Nichols, and
North Carolina.
Danny McBride.
Yeah.
Which is funny that Danny McBride, it's funny, I was listening to an interview with him, and he didn't want to be an actor. He wanted to be a director.
Yeah.
And he's kind of stuck directing until he could I guess until he gets a chance to direct, I guess. But, yeah. I'm actually looking forward to seeing Danny McBride direct a drama. Because I think coming from that school of these three guys, hanging out with these guys, I know he has a good drama in him.
Yeah,
so.
He's just so good.
Yeah, yeah. So
season two of Eastbound and Down is one of the best things ever made.
Yeah, yeah. That is my number five, Brandon.
Okay. Now I'm just going to pick another one. You know what? And I'm going to say...
My four through one are going to get... It's going to get serious in here, guys.
Yeah, so let's keep it fun.
let's keep it fun.
It's already said all my stuff. I'll say Gravity.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I forgot to put that on there.
Yeah. Another one that was... It's been a little delayed.
You don't know... Well, you still don't know if it's going to make it on time.
It's because they're making it, yeah.
Yeah. It's in 3D.
George Clooney.
And it's only...
Sandra Bullock. And Alfonso Cuarón.
I think I know this one.
Is it Cuarón or Cuarón?
No, it's only one R, so Cuarón.
I'm sorry to any
yeah
Hispanic or Latino individuals out there in the audience.
But yeah, I love this director. Everything he's done. Jenny, he directed Children of Men. Have you seen
that?
Oh,
yeah. Yeah.
He did Y Tu Mamá También. And I am very looking uncomfortable. Forward. Really?
I saw it with my best friend. Here's who I saw each time I began with. The girl I was dating at the time and my best friend.
Yeah.
So when that last scene comes up...
It's going to get weird.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love this movie. I felt like it was... It was in my experience of coming of age, but I felt like it was such a universal story that...
Oh, yeah. No.
I felt it, you know?
Oh, it was beautiful. Yeah, yeah, I felt it. That's what made it awkward.
Yeah, yeah. you're right. It does.
It's like, because
yeah.
I'm so, I like, I buy into it.
Yeah.
And then I look around, I'm like, oh, I'm kind of in that same situation right now. Only not attracted like, to, yeah.
Finger cuts.
My girlfriend is not getting me and my friend to make out.
Yeah. But yeah, I love this director. And doing another sci-fi in space. And it's just...
George Clooney, you got to be excited. He does still sci-fi.
Yeah. And he's doing another sci-fi.
The only other thing being Solaris, I guess.
He's going to do the new Brad Bird. He just got the announcement.
If that's sci-fi, we'll see.
Yeah, yeah. We don't know what it is. Okay. Damn him and fucking J.J. Abrams with their secrecy.
So stupid.
All right. I like your pick, man. I that slipped through my hands.
How did Gravity slip through your hands?
I don't know, dude. I don't know. Jenny.
Okay. So I will do, how about Rush?
Oh, yes. I like that.
What's Rush?
Rush is the new
Ron Howard movie that he's directing. It's about a, Formula One driver who, crashes and there's no like trailer out or anything. I don't think I've seen anything, but what I have seen is I follow Ron Howard on Twitter and he keeps posting more and more pictures from the set just the way he's excited about it makes me excited about it.
And just, I mean, it's directed by Morgan, the guy who did Frost Nixon that wrote it. What's his name? Not Chris Morgan. Peter Morgan. Yeah. And it's actually this true story. If anybody is a race fan like myself, it's a Niki Lauda's story. It's really a cool story.
Brooklyn Dodgers?
No, nothing to do with Brooklyn Dodgers. Actually, Chris Helmsworth is playing his rival, so he's not even the lead. The lead is the German.
Now you have me interested.
The German guy from Inglourious Basterds, the guy that was a hero in the movie.
Oh,
the
German guy. In the movie that they make,
I forget his name.
I was trying to think.
Daniel
Bruch.
Yeah, Bruch.
If you could please apologize to the Germans in the audience.
We're sorry.
Sorry, Germans. Yeah. I'm so sorry, Germans.
And he's playing Niki Lauda, and Chris Helmsworth is playing his rival.
Hemsworth.
Hemsworth.
There's no L.
Sorry, I keep adding an L to that.
Sorry,
Chris.
What is thinking, the Australian?
Sorry.
You're thinking of that blonde hair and that sweet winged helmet.
Oh, yeah, yeah. He's playing James Hunt, his rival. So this is going to be awesome. It's racing. It's Ron Howard, and it's got a good script.
You guys are really that big of fans of Ron Howard?
I am.
Really?
I am.
I like Ron Howard.
Don't find him a little too...
Sappy?
Yeah.
Nah.
Spielberg light?
He came out of the camp.
Without the...
Heart?
Skill.
No, I
don't necessarily mean that negatively. I just mean, you know...
I mean, he's had a couple not good ones, you know, like The Missing and stuff like that. But
The Da Vinci Code.
Okay, yeah, I'll give you that.
And the Lost Symbol.
Yeah. All right. But still,
he's done a lot of good stuff, though.
He has Paul 13, Far and Away. All right, he's had a couple.
You had me at Far and Away.
Yeah. So there you go.
Every person. No, I know he's really couple.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Actually, what especially was the with last the, how many he's did? Done. Was it The Lost Symbol?
Yeah.
Was that the last one he did?
I think he did.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, wasn't Frost Nixon after that?
No, oh. Frost Nixon was before.
Really?
Yeah, that was his Inception.
That was his Inception. Yeah.
That was his own thing before he went back to do the...
Did you not like Dark Knight Rises?
Did I not like the Dark Knight Rises? Yeah. No, I did not like the Dark Knight Rises very much.
Okay. Well, that explains a lot. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it. I didn't hate it, so...
I didn't hate it.
Yeah.
I just, it was a lot of not what I want.
Yeah. It was Christopher Nolan's Batman. It wasn't the people's Batman.
No, I understand. Like, but even then, there wasn't much Batman. You're making a 3-hour long Batman movie where Batman's in it maybe 20 minutes.
That's kind of cool, though.
That is not cool at all.
I think it's cool. No,
it's why The Avengers was far and away better. Because you know who is in The Avengers the whole movie? The Avengers.
The Avengers?
Yeah. No one is ever not an Avenger in that movie.
Well, you don't know that. Okay?
Batman doesn't quit. That's all I'm saying. In Christopher Nolan's universe, he's Batman maybe 18 months. Total. And then he quits. Like a baby.
He's like, man, this is too hard.
That is Batman's defining quality, is that he doesn't quit and doesn't give up.
Okay. This was his last movie. Ron Howard. The Dilemma.
Dilemma. Oh, that's the Jason Bateman. Was that Jason Bateman and Ryan Reynolds?
No, that was Vince Vaughn and King of Queens.
It's the same
King
movie, though, isn't it, though?
Yeah, it feels like it.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, it was Frost Nixon, Angels and Demons.
Angels and Demons, not The Lost Symbol. That's right, yeah. Angels and Demons.
And The Dilemma, yeah. All right.
I like Cinderella Man.
Cinderella Man was great.
Yeah.
I would have liked movie. For him to do The Dark Tower.
Yeah.
I was excited about that whole thing, yeah. I'm sad that fell through.
Yeah. So that is your number four, Jenny?
I think so.
My number four
I don't know anymore.
Is this guy you're going to find attractive. Two attractive dudes in one movie, dude. Two for one. A movie called The Place Beyond the Pines. Little Ryan Reynolds, a little Bradley Cooper. Yeah, you know what I'm going with this.
I'm not as big of a Bradley Cooper fan.
Really?
Yeah.
He's a handsome
dude. Completely forgot about this movie. Yeah, I'm really fucking excited about this one.
This is the writer-director of Blue Valentine. So if you like downers, you're going to love this movie.
tell me more.
It stars...
How am I going to cry?
Ryan Gosling as a motorcycle stunt rider, who is Robin Banks. And then Bradley Cooper's story is that he's a cop, and he has to deal with some corruption in the force. A little good guy becomes bad guy becomes good guy. So you need to know. A little depressing movie.
I know, you pitched that to me like a sitcom.
I did, didn't I? And then they trade places, they trade bodies, and they got to deal with each other's families. And it stars...
Judge Reinhold.
As a cop. But yeah, so A Place Beyond the Pines. I love this director, Derek. I can't always pronounce his last name. Sia France. I think his last name is. But he did, like I said, Blue Valentine, which I loved. And can't wait for this movie. So, got Ryan Gosling. What else do you need?
Bradley Cooper.
I guess so. Done.
But then
check.
You're good.
Yeah.
I'm not as big of a Ryan Gosling fan either.
Really?
But everyone tells me it's because I haven't seen Lars and the Real Girl.
Oh, yeah. Which, by the way, it's streaming. Netflix
it
stream
is.
Of the
you're
week.
Right.
Lars and the Real Girl.
Oh, really? I need to see it again.
Check it out. I love me some Gosling. I just watched him in Remember the Titans. And I'm like, what? Young Gosling? So
yeah, I didn't like The Notebook as much as I was told I was going to like it.
I don't blame you.
You didn't see it in theaters. You didn't get the theatrical experience.
And I'm not saying that like as a dude. Like I love romantic movies. Yeah. But
you know, I liked it because I liked the book. But yeah. So I knew what I was getting into. So I liked it, but I'm also a chick.
You know what movie I love?
So
I give up.
So I don't know.
Speaking of romantic movies, I think you know what movie I really loved because it's so still, and I just loved it. Okay, you're gonna fall asleep here, but Two Lovers.
Jerry.
Two Lovers.
Two Lovers. I don't even know what that is.
It's Joaquin Phoenix, Gwyneth Paltrow. It's directed by the guy that did he did The Yards, and he did anyway. You're not gonna watch it. It's really slow.
Okay.
You're not gonna watch it.
Let's just rewind that then.
Yeah. Go ahead. What's your number four?
My number four?
Oh, Jesus. Are we at four or are we at three? Three. My bad. Yeah.
All right. I'll say Riddick.
Okay.
Really?
I know nothing about this movie, but I've enjoyed the first two. Loved Pitch Black.
Yeah. I don't like the sequel, but I love Pitch Black.
Yeah. And the sequel was fun. It was a lot better than it should have been.
I agree.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. So I'm excited for the next one. I know nothing about it other than it's got Vin Diesel and it's about Riddick.
Is it the same writer?
It's the same writer director. It's got a weird
history. Is it?
Yeah.
As Pitch Black, what's his name? Twahi.
Yes.
Or Tui.
Yes.
David Tui.
Yeah. So
I love The Arrival is amazing. Charlie Sheen's best work.
Ron Silver. No, I'm serious. I love this movie. I was just talking to somebody about this. Yeah, The Arrival with Ron Silver, right?
Charlie Sheen.
And Ron Silver is like the villain of the movie. Yes, he is. Yes, he is, because I love this movie and I know what movie you're talking about.
Okay.
The Alien one, right?
Yeah.
Yes. I love The Arrival.
It's great.
It's awesome sci-fi.
It's really good.
Yes. It's hard to get people to watch it because it's Charlie Sheen.
No, Charlie Sheen's great.
No, I mean...
I know what people... But
because people have a preconceived idea of Charlie Sheen. But it's pre, Tiger Blood, Charlie Sheen.
Yeah.
So go watch it if you get a chance. If you like sci-fi, The Arrival with Charlie Sheen, Ron Silver, check it out.
And for skydiving action movies, Terminal Velocity can't be beat.
Yes. There you go. Jenny, throw it down. Throw it down.
Is this three?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to go with The Iceman.
Oh, yeah.
It's The Iceman.
It's a Michael Shannon. It's Michael Shannon as a killer.
It's a true story about the Iceman killer.
Oh, okay.
He was a mob assassin for like years, and his wife did not have an idea.
He was this
like cold-blooded killer, and if you get a chance to watch, like, there's a documentary on him.
Oh, really?
And there's some footage of him like talking about like him and the killings, and he's fucking creepy, man. Perfect guy to be the Iceman.
Yeah.
Michael Shannon.
Michael Shannon.
God, he's so creepy.
It's hard to get hard to get creepier than Michael Shannon.
It's so true. I think it's going to be really good.
Yeah.
Yeah. The trailer looks interesting. Who's the guy that's playing like his right-hand man?
Chris Evans. Chris Evans is one of them.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
like
yeah.
Chris Evans.
Ray Liotta plays his boss, I think.
Mm-hmm.
James Franco is in it.
Winona Ryder's his wife.
Yeah.
Which is interesting.
Yeah. And he's got a
I haven't seen Winona Ryder in a while. I like that.
Stephen Dorff, isn't it? Stephen I love Dorff. Me some Stephen Dorff.
I don't know if I love me some Stephen Dorff.
Yeah. he wanted me back with...
yeah.
I enjoy me some Stephen Dorff.
Somewhere. Did you see Somewhere? The Sofia Coppola movie?
Oh, no. I was not in the mood to watch him hang around the Chateau Marmont for a movie.
liked it?
It's really still.
While they try to sell me on how horrible a life they have.
I do agree with that.
How all this stuff looks so great, but inside we're really broken.
It's
guys.
Just so boring. Yeah. but yeah, so I am looking forward to this movie too.
Other people are broken too. They don't get to do it at the Chateau Marmont.
Yeah. where are we, three?
Yes, you're three.
My number three, guess what? Another Ryan Gosling movie.
Oh, man.
And Terrence Malick?
No. Not yet.
Oh, sorry.
It's hold your horses.
Sorry.
Hold your horses.
We know what that is.
Only God Forgives, my number three.
Really?
It's Nicholas Winding Refn, the guy who did Drive.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and it's the Thai boxing movie. Yeah.
Is it just like boxing? Like one boxing match?
Not boxing. It's Thai boxing, okay?
What does that mean?
It means there's kicking.
How is that different?
Also.
There's kicking.
Oh, thank God.
Yeah.
Okay, cooking's involved.
Muay
It sounds like I don't know anything about this movie, obviously, but from what I was reading about it sounds like it's just about one match. Is that correct? No. I hope
maybe,
not.
Maybe.
Really?
It's like it's like the Karate Kid. We don't know. Maybe this guy is the Karate Kid, the American Karate Kid.
I like Nicholas Winding Refn.
Nicholas Winding Refn. Yeah.
I like him, but it doesn't sound interesting at all to me.
I'm not the biggest fan of How I Met Your Mother, but I was watching an episode months ago, and I can't watch The Karate Kid without thinking of Barney in the show, because he sees the movie in the point of view of Billy Zabka, because he's like, it's called The Karate Kid, not the kid who learned karate in a couple of months. So the whole movie is sort of the point of view He's like, it's about a young gentleman who learns about sportsmanship by losing a match. So, Only God Forgives is Nicholas Winding Refn. So it's going to be badass. It's going to be a little slow at points, which I'm going to love. And it stars Ryan Gosling, fighting, kicking ass. So that's all you need to know. Only God Forgives, coming this year.
I do like looking at him enough where I would probably go see it anyways.
Yeah, and the poster is just him with a
girl.
Yeah. Watch me get my face beaten.
Yeah, the poster is just him with like a fucked up face, like just beat up face. So take it away. What is your number two?
Number two, let's say it is The Great Gatsby.
All right, yeah.
I'm very excited for The Great Gatsby.
I keep going back and forth.
I said I didn't like Romeo and Juliet, but I like everything else Baz Luhrmann's done.
Okay.
Except for Australia.
Yeah.
I do not like Australia as much.
I was about to shit on you, dude.
Yeah, I do not like Australia as much.
Yeah.
Baz
Luhrmann took a big old shit on Australia with that movie.
But man, I love Moulin Rouge. I really love Moulin Rouge.
I love Moulin Rouge. Yeah. Moulin Rouge
is amazing. And this feels very...
That's another good like John Leguizamo part is Moulin Rouge.
Oh, he is.
Have you guys read The Great Gatsby?
I have never read... that is very shameful on my shame list. Okay. I've never read The Great... Well, mostly because it's 100 pages.
Yeah, I just read it. I just read it, and that's the problem.
And I never had to read it in high school, so...
That's a problem.
Yeah.
So I'm going to say... I'm only going to see it because of DiCaprio. Because I love me DiCaprio.
Yeah.
Oh, DiCaprio's great?
Not Baz Luhrmann. I'm on DiCaprio's camp.
It's got a great cast. It really does.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I love Joel, what is his name?
Joel Edgerton.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And this Jason Clarke guy that's popping up.
He's in this too?
Yeah.
Oh, I love Jason Clarke.
Me too.
Jason Clarke is in Brotherhood on Showtime, if you haven't seen it.
And Zero Dark Thirty.
And he's in Public Enemies.
Yeah. Lawless. I like this guy.
Yeah. I love.
He's just popping up all over the place recently.
He doesn't get enough credit for Zero Dark Thirty. He was amazing in it.
Who is he in Zero Dark Thirty?
The main guy. That she's talks to the whole time, pretty much.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah.
He's good.
Yeah, he was good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, I hear you. It's really high on your list, though.
It is very high. I'm very excited.
Yeah. All right.
I think it's.
I was worried.
It's in 3D
because it got moved.
Because it's 3D. That's why.
But it got moved to May.
It didn't get moved because it was in 3D. I think it got moved just because they had enough stuff in contention around the time.
Really?
I think so too. I think it had a lot to do with Leo.
Yeah.
Being nominated.
Yeah.
I think they wanted to move it. Because it would have gotten overshadowed by him and Django, maybe.
Yeah,
I think that's so true. Too.
It was Warner Brothers, right?
Yeah, it was supposed to come out in December. December.
Christmas.
Yeah, so
it is Warner Brothers, right?
Yes,
Warner Brothers does that a lot. They'll move stuff around because they're like, man, we made our money for the year, so we'll just move it to next year.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
We'll make more money
every
next year.
Every year Harry Potter movie was released, something got pushed into the next year.
Yeah,
we already made a lot of money this year. We got to move some of this around.
We need a better quota.
Or even like Dark Knight. I know made a lot of money. Dark Knight Rises made a lot of money. So
yeah,
very cool, Jenny.
All right.
I'm hoping no one says my number one. I wanted to say my number one ahead of time because I haven't been able to say the first of like any of them.
I don't. Just
say.
Just do it.
I was going to do Kick-Ass 2. All
right.
Do it.
Is that okay?
You're number two, right. Kick-Ass 2.
Yeah, I'm excited for that one. I really like Kick-Ass. I really, really like Kick-Ass, the first movie.
Yeah, it's not Matthew Vaughn.
I know.
I'm still very, very excited.
But he co-wrote the script with the girl. I forget her name. She's actually a good writer. She wrote X-Men First Class. It's a shame that I don't know her name. I'm sorry. But I think she's a great female writer, and I think... There should be more female writers in Hollywood.
Sad thing is, there are a lot of female writers in Hollywood.
Well, they aren't getting produced, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
In fact, I would say there's 50% female writers and 50% male writers.
Really? Well, we don't hear about them.
No, we don't.
Yeah.
Because 90% of the men control everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But she's amazing, and she co-wrote it with Matthew Vaughn, and so I am looking forward to this. And Jim Carrey's in this.
Yes, that's what I'm excited about.
Colonel Stars and Stripes.
Yes. Yeah. Exactly.
And I guess like the first 40 minutes is all Hit Girl.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's exciting.
Yeah. Well, she was good in the first one. She was amazing.
She was really good.
So good.
Yeah, yeah. So, and deserved first half.
I was so bummed because I got to go to like a test screening of it. and it was when they still had the temp music in.
Of Kick-Ass 2?
Of Kick-Ass.
Oh, me too. Okay.
Yeah, and they had all the temp score in. It was still, it was the same movie. I can't think of any changes other than the score. And what they had in place for the score...
Was the Good, the Bad, and the Ugly?
No, well, they had, they may have had some of that, but they also had like the Superman theme.
Oh, yeah.
And Hans Zimmer's Batman music. All different parts. Yeah, and I saw it worked that. Yeah. So well in the movie.
I know.
And they couldn't use it. They couldn't have any of that. It was different,
But I am looking forward to this. So good pick.
Yeah, me too.
The only thing that bothers me is the director. He directed a movie called Never Back Down. Yeah,
I'm trying to remember Never Back Down.
It was like the crappy version of like Lionheart and like fighting. So let's not get into that. My number two. My number two and number one are. I had trouble. I kept changing them around. I kept, you know. I had nightmares about it. What is your number one?
You get to pick one.
Okay. My number two will be Before Midnight.
Okay. I would have assumed that for you.
Yeah. Before Midnight, Richard Linklater. It's the third in the series. It's Before Sunset, Before Sunrise. And this is the third one, Before Midnight. If you're a fan of people talking for 2 hours, this is your movie.
This is your movie.
It is the story of Jesse and Celine. Talking again for a whole movie.
They
didn't finish their conversation.
It's always a tragedy.
They're in Greece.
Maybe this one ends hopefully.
Yes. They keep saying that they might do another one.
They have to both die, right?
I don't know. I think
they both get hit by a bus when they're walking down the street.
Everyone that saw it at Sundance said it was the best of the series, which is hard to top Before Sunset.
I don't know. Bernie was unreal. Bernie was
amazing.
Yeah. I meant to bring that up when someone Bernie mentioned Matthew McConaughey. I finally caught up with that the other night. Yeah. And
Liked it. Yeah.
It was amazing.
Yes. Yes. If you haven't seen it, it's streaming on Netflix. Bernie. Yeah. Jack Black.
That's
kicking
my stream
ass
of the week.
Jack Black is kicking ass.
Oh, Jack Black was great.
Oh, God. Yeah.
But
so different than usual Jack Black.
The documentary nature of like interviewing the real people from the town
against
the story worked so well.
Yeah.
I like that guy that was really upset about that town in Texas. He just kept talking so much shit.
Yeah,
it's like a King of the Hill whenever they talk about McMahon or Barry.
Before Midnight, my number two. Fucking love this guy. Richard Linklater is really like a guy who I look forward to, and I'm like, this guy. If you walked down the street, no one would recognize him. But he makes amazing movies, and that's the type of director I wish to be. You know, like And he takes chances. Yeah, he does like the studio movies, but he always goes back to this stuff, Bernie and this, you know?
If you saw him walking down the street, what would you say to him?
I wouldn't talk to him.
Wouldn't talk to him at all?
You know what? It's so funny because somebody asked me about that. They're like, well, who's like the biggest director, your hero? And I said, Woody Allen. And they said, well, would you like to meet him, you know? And I'm like, I wouldn't. Because if he's anything like me, he would be bugged by me talking to him. You know what I mean? Like, so why would I do that?
Yeah, I think that's only the weird people. Woody Allen, maybe because he's been around a long time and he's super antisocial.
Yeah.
But you wouldn't want someone to come up to you and be like, hey, I really enjoyed that thing you put a lot of time into.
I guess so.
I had a good time with it.
You're right. Yeah.
You kind of inspired me a little bit.
I guess I would go up to Richard Linklater.
Who would dislike that?
Yeah.
A monster. And we need to find out who the monsters are.
Yeah.
So everyone, go up to your heroes. Say you really like them.
Yeah. So Richard Linklater, maybe I'll bump into him and say, hey,
there you go.
You're the man. That's how we do it. You and Magic Mike are my two heroes.
Magic Mike is Ricardo.
He's not
Magic
a real person?
Magic Mike is not a real person.
I'm sorry.
Although it might be. Was that based on some true story?
It was based on him.
On Channing Tatum.
Oh, that's right.
Based on
loosely based on Channing Tatum.
Channing Tatum, you're my hero, man. Your damn moves. No. Okay. We shouldn't do a recap because, you know.
It's just all this stuff, yeah.
Give us your number one.
Number one. This was a tie between my number one and number two. Number one was Pacific Rim, Man of Steel.
Ooh. All right.
And I did not think this would be so exciting for me.
I didn't think so either.
I did not think so until I saw the trailer.
Yes.
And
agreed.
I am not... It's weird. I wouldn't call myself like a big Zack Snyder fan, but I've enjoyed pretty much everything he's done. Except Sucker Punch.
Yes.
Which was weird and...
It was a Sucker Punch.
If I were him, I would want to just lock that away forever.
Yeah.
But it's unreal. I I love Superman, but when he's more of a romantic and mythic figure, ordinarily I'd be pissed that they're going back to kind of origin stuff.
Yeah.
Even though I think it's probably not a big part of the movie.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so too.
Kevin Costner.
Yeah.
Love me some Kevin Costner. The thing, like, when he's about to fly up and, like, the earth shakes and, like, the dust kind of swirls, like, around him, like a field of some kind or something. Oh, it was great.
You know,
Michael Shannon as Zod.
Yes.
You know what? Yeah. What? This is what I'd say about this movie. With comic books, I feel like I'm more of a DC guy than I am Marvel.
Me too.
And when it comes to just characters alone, yeah, I'm a big fan of Christopher Nolan, and I loved what he did with Batman. I fucking loved what he did with Dark Knight. I fucking loved it, you know? But when it comes down to just forget the movies, just heroes, I fucking always loved Superman. And I it's always been shameful to say that, because everyone's like, well, he doesn't have enemies because, like, you know, he's like a god. But I think it just what he represents, kind of, you know, like.
Yeah, that's what I think it is interesting about.
Yes.
Him.
And I think that's what they're catching on this one, which Bryan Singer kind of just flew over his head, and he made him like a stalker guy.
Who lifts heavy things.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. And this, I feel like this is what I love. This feels like truth, justice in the American way, you know. That's what it feels like.
Yeah.
And I'm on board for this thing.
I am wholly confident that the action will also be good in this.
Yes. And
because that's the one thing I've been missing from pretty much every superhero movie is superheroic action.
Yeah.
The Avengers is the only thing so far that's been on such a scale that, like, you would need a superhero to solve the problem. Everything else has been so small because they want to keep the story personal.
Yeah.
But he's a god living on Earth.
Yes.
He needs to fight other gods.
Yeah, yeah.
For it to be impressive. Or it's like Superman Returns where he just lifts heavy things.
Yeah. And you know what? I was really, really hesitant about this movie.
Me too.
Really, really, really. Until we went to the Comic-Con last year. And that was one of the things I was most looking forward to. Like, yeah, Iron Man 3 was cool. And, like, I wasn't looking forward to The Hobbit because that was boring to me. But this and Pacific Rim, and this came like second after Pacific Rim, and I'm like, this is not gonna be good, dude. And then they showed the first footage, and it kind of like got me like, oh man, like. And then they showed it again. They showed it twice, and it was amazing. And we got to see an extended clips of like Zod and stuff, and some of the. It's gonna be amazing, I think.
Yeah.
And they picked the right Zod, Michael Shannon.
Yeah, he looks good.
Yeah, and so he's fighting the right villain. I think
I still wish it was something a little different.
Yeah.
I still wish they had done something different in a Superman movie for once, but
yeah.
I'm still very, very excited.
Yeah, me too.
I just want a Brainiac.
Yeah. And just the feel of like how they filmed it. It's like a lot of handheld stuff.
Yeah.
It's funny. I mentioned this is sacrilegious. A lot of people are going to get upset. I would too. The stuff like with the narration stuff of the first, especially the stuff I saw at Comic-Con, felt very Terrence Malick-ish.
Yeah, there was a lot of hands in wheat.
Yep, and voiceover.
Yeah,
yeah, right. So, I loved it.
Wide angle shots of kids playing.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
So, there you go. I'm totally on board with your number one. I'm glad you put it on the list because I left it off of it.
Me too.
Jenny.
All right, so I'm going to do Iron Man 3.
Cool.
I was just about to comment on how that was left off of the list.
Yeah. I was like, maybe I should go ahead and put it in there. Yes, Iron Man 2 was not as good as Iron Man 1.
Yeah.
But it was awful. But Shane Black, I'm super excited about.
Yeah, that's the only thing that has me interested in Iron Man 3.
I just will always have a thing for Robert Downey Jr. He just has a soft spot in my heart for some reason. I love him. He's everything that everything that he does, I love nowadays.
Yeah.
I love him. I think he's great. I think he's very, he knows how to win a crowd.
Yeah, and also, like, it's funny, I think the actors that know themselves very well is, I think when you know yourself as an artist very well, you know what you can play and what you can play, and, you know, where you could take risks, and this guy knows himself very well, you know, especially after the whole direct thing, And he is Iron Man.
Seriously.
Yeah.
He's Tony Stark.
He's Tony Stark.
Yeah, he owns the character.
We were there when he came in, and his entrance was Tony Stark's entrance. He literally came, everything shut off, and they shined a spotlight where we were at, and we're like, what the fuck's going on? And they start playing some Luther Vandross, and he just walked out, and he walked from all the way to the back of Hall H to all the way to the front, and he danced his way to the stage.
Yeah.
Tony Stark.
I love Ben Kingsley's weird accent.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
I feel like Ben Kingsley will say yes to any role as long as you can guarantee him that he can make up whatever accent he needs to.
He's like, I can wear any hairpiece I want.
Yeah.
And I could speak in any dialect I want. Then I'm there.
What do you guys think about the shield tattoo on his back? All speculation.
But yeah, I'm on board with this movie. It's exciting. Yeah. All right, my number one. You guys know what it is.
Should we say it at the same time, Jenny?
One, two, three.
To the Wonder.
Yes.
I didn't know it had a name. I was like, Terrence.
The next Terrence Malick Wheat documentary.
Terrence Malick.
Yes. It's Terrence Malick.
What's it called?
To the Wonder.
To the Wonder.
Yeah. Okay. And it's directed and written by Terrence Malick. I'm telling you, I watch this trailer and I get a little teary-eyed.
I know.
I'm not going to lie.
I know, it's sweet.
It's sweet. It stars Ben Affleck. The only red mark is Rachel McAdams in this movie.
Why? I like Rachel McAdams.
After the whole Paris movie. Allen. Yeah.
The whole Paris movie.
Midnight in Paris.
Midnight in Paris.
She wasn't good in Woody Allen. She just doesn't have, some people just don't,
that's right, get,
just don't do Woody Allen right.
Yeah, yeah. But she, you know, she's been good in other things.
By now, we can probably say most Woody Allen movies aren't very good.
Well, I wouldn't say that.
There have been
liked Midnight in Paris. I just
Midnight in Paris is one of the good ones. I'm just saying, by now, he's made enough. I think we might be able to say 51% of them are not very good.
I don't know about that. Even the shitty ones I like. Even the ones.
Yeah.
Curse of the
Day
Scorpion.
But,
okay. I love it. But
what was that one with Alec Baldwin? To Rome?
To Rome with Love.
You liked that one?
I love aspects of it.
Yeah, you're only saying that because it's Woody Allen, though.
I am.
Any other movie, you'd be shitting all over.
I am.
Yeah, that's my problem with Woody Allen people.
Yes,
I love Woody Allen.
Yeah,
but come on, he's made a lot of shit.
He has, but all right, I'll cop. Oh yes, he has made a lot.
It's okay to take a critical view of one of Woody Allen's movies.
Okay, I feel sad. I feel dirty.
Curse of the Jade Scorpion. Who did he write as his love interest in that? Tiffany Amber Thiessen? Wasn't that? He has like multiple love interests.
Helen Hunt.
Is that Helen Hunt? One of them, it's Tiffany Amber Thiessen. And then Jenna Elfman.
No, you're thinking.
Oh, that's the Hollywood one.
Oh, yes, Hollywood Ending.
Hollywood Ending, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
But Curse of the Jade Scorpion.
Jenna Elfman is the one he wants. Tiffany Amber Thiessen is the one that throws herself at him.
Well, duh. Yeah.
But yeah, so To the Wonder, Ben Affleck, Rachel McAdams, Javier Bardem. What else do you need? Nothing else. You could have just Terrence Malick in a Kansas wheat field. That's all you need, okay?
I don't think I've seen the trailer for this one yet.
Really?
But I can just imagine.
Oh, I'll show it to you after.
I think I already know what
it is. It looks like the Tree of Life trailer.
Right.
Yeah.
I didn't mind Tree of Life.
Yeah.
But
all right. Well, you guys want to rattle any honorable mentions?
Did I have any?
Oh, just the usual ones, like... Like, I'm really excited about Anchorman
2. Yeah.
The
Hunger Games.
The Hunger Games, the new Hunger Games one.
I didn't know Anchorman 2 was going to be out in 2013.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was coming out 2014. Okay. Yeah. That,
it's set for December right
that
now.
That might be
so
my
new
number one.
Really?
I didn't realize that was 2013.
Yeah.
It's set for December, but you never know.
Yeah, that's still probably the most rewatchable.
Oh, yeah. But comedy. I'm nervous that, I don't know, because they all...
It's Will Ferrell and Adam McKay.
That's true.
They're still always good.
There's
Step Brothers.
Yeah, I love Step Brothers.
Talladega Nights.
Yeah. Well, they did the other guys.
What other guys?
I liked the other
guys. The other guys was great.
I liked that one.
The other guys was great.
Here's the thing. I've only seen it once, and I know with especially Adam McKay movies, I feel like the second, third viewing are the best.
Step Brothers.
That's how I was with Anchorman.
Step Brothers I didn't like until I watched it the second time.
I loved
it.
Okay.
But I do love me some Michael Keaton then. He's like,
yeah.
And he's like,
go chase some waterfalls.
I
love it.
What else? What else, Jenny?
On your
honorable mentions.
We named them all pretty. Oh, the new Sin City.
Oh, yeah.
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 I'm actually kind of, I'm getting more and more excited about Oz, too. Yeah. I wasn't at first, now I am. So
another one I didn't mention, Spring Breakers.
Yeah, I'm excited for Spring Breakers, actually.
Yeah, me too.
I don't know.
It just looks... I just don't know what to make of it.
I dig,
yeah, that's how I feel.
I dig Harmony Korine, and so whatever.
Pain and Gain?
Yes.
I'm pretty excited for Pain and Gain.
Me too. It's on my list because I feel like it's back to old school fucking Michael Bay.
Yeah.
With like Bad Boys 2,
Michael Bay.
Bad Boys 2. I'm on board with that stuff.
Mark Wahlberg, The Rock.
Yeah.
You'll
The Rock. Come on.
You'll never not have me excited about A Rock.
Yeah. Yeah. And The Rock. The Armageddon. So all the stuff was early Michael Bay, fucking fun as fuck. So let's get back to that, Michael Bay. No more Transformers, please.
No, Mark Wahlberg's going to be the next Transformers.
I'm looking forward to a movie called Captain Phillips. And it is directed by Paul Greengrass. And it's written by one of my favorite screenwriters, Billy Ray. He did Shattered Glass and Breach.
Oh, okay.
And but it's directed by Paul Greengrass, and it stars Tom Hanks, Catherine Keener, and it's about the 2009 hijacking by the Somali pirates of that ship.
Oh man!
He's
Paul Greengrass.
Yes,
oh, that's gonna be great.
Yes, so that is gonna be amazing.
Shattered Glass is really good too.
Yes, it is.
Shattered Glass is one of those perfect. Like I watched Margin Call again the other day. There's a specific. I'm surprised this is not a subgenre on Netflix. Like. Workplace procedurals,
yes.
Like that take place over a night or something,
where they're trying to unravel, like
yeah, where a they're trying to unravel, like barbarians yeah. at the gate. I don't yeah. know if you've seen that, yeah, yeah that sort of thing. Like corporate mystery.
I will defend what's his face in that movie. The guy
who,
Anakin Skywalker.
Oh, he's great in that.
He's great in that. Yeah,
yeah, he's really good. That
and the one with Kevin Kline with the house.
Oh, Life as a House.
That? Life as a House.
Yeah, I like
that's
that one.
Great. He's great in that.
Life as a House.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Plays the you house.
Seen that? The house plays the house. Have you haven't seen it?
I haven't seen Life
I'll
as
lend
the
it
house.
To you. Lend it to you. You, it's really good drama. And then there's a movie called Mala Vida. And it is written and directed by Luc Besson. It's back to directing. And it stars
De
Niro,
yeah.
Tommy Lee Jones, Michelle Pfeiffer, and it's about a mafia family. They has to. They're under the witness protection program, and they get moved to a different country, and they start up their mafia ways again. But it's Luc Besson, so I'm on board.
Interesting.
And what else? My last one. It is Rush. We mentioned Elysium. Oh, The Tomb. So Stallone, Schwarzenegger. That's all you need to know. Done.
God. Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
I am done.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, see.
Anything else, guys?
No, but that was the positive for me. I am excited for that.
Yeah.
I'm not.
Stallone and Schwarzenegger?
Yeah.
Yeah. We never even got that back when they were actually good.
Yeah, yeah. So, and so we didn't really get that in Expendables. Like we didn't get the just like a buddy movie.
Expendables was awful.
Yeah. Expendables 2.
I want Tango and Cash 2.
Yeah.
That's what I want.
Get Kurt Russell in this bad boy.
Yes. I need Kurt Russell in everything.
Yes. He's like cowbell.
Yes.
We need more cowbell. Anything else that you want to rattle off?
No, that's everyone that named everything.
Cool, then we'll wrap it up. Guys, follow us. If you are not following us on Twitter, please do that. We're trying to get some sponsorship from the program, and we'd love to have you friend us on Twitter. So we are at The Film Podcast on Twitter. If you're going to buy something off Amazon, please come on over our website at The Film Podcast and click our Amazon link and go about your shopping on Amazon. And Amazon will throw us a couple of shekels in our face, literally, or our bank account, whatever. And then what else? Anything else you guys want to plug? You have a blog or anything?
Nope.
No? We should have a blog.
Okay.
What's wrong with you? Get on it.
Quite a few things.
Yeah.
Not having a blog being one of them.
You could follow me on Twitter at Ricardo, ULTRERAS.
I'm at Janae, JEHNEIGH.
At BL Bennett. BL Bennett.
That should be your website. BL Bennett.
That was taken.
Ugh. Damn BL Bennett. One.
Brandon Bennett. Is a well-known Elvis impersonator, and he took the website.
Ah, what a jerk.
But there's no movie about him, so I shouldn't talk about it.
Yeah. All right. Until next time, have a good week, guys.